And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. All right. I usually do it better than that, you know, but we weren't up early enough. Okay. What we're going to do today is we're going to be speaking with, I got three good friends coming in. You know, I haven't seen Rick and Mike for a while. Let me tell you who they are. Rick, folks, yeah, you got, all right, damn it.
I always had this problem with your, whoa,
we got an echo in there. I always had the problem with this, with your name, Rick. It's a, go ahead and use that mic right there. Yeah, just pull it over. I have to set that one differently. Well, that one, we have Rick Folks, 9/11 Truth. We're going to be talking about it, but you're an architect, aren't you?
Structural engineer.
Okay, define the difference for me.
Okay, architects do the artistic part of a building design. The structural engineers do the nuts and bolts and the framework and the beams and the columns and the foundations, the actual structure that goes in that holds the building up and makes the building stable. And
so when I come over here and I go, look, I got domes, you go, okay, Ernie could probably not screw that one up pretty good.
Domes are, one of the most stable structures known that I've been involved with, yes.
If the World Trade Center was a dome, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Mike Schoen, he's going to hang out with us today, too. He's running for Congress again, you know, for, you know, libertarians and so on, but the his main thing has always been kind of the truth, you know, looking for, you know, finding the truth. What we're going to do is Mike Schoen, for those that, you know, haven't recognized the name, that's a well-known family name here in Arizona. They're the founders of U-Haul. And Mike, it was your dad, right?
Yeah, it was my dad for sure.
So this is, but you're accomplished individual in your own right. This is ever since I've known you. It's been, God, since I first started doing radio in 03. You know, it was Brian Quigg. You know, yeah. He was a truth looker. You had a lot of the different events and activities you supported, you know, financially and with your time and everything over the years. And all that truth seeking and how bad in the shadow government of damn. And all of a sudden, 9/11 happens. You go, yeah, well, yeah, what did you think was going to happen? And you knew where that was going. So your activities of late has been what? Give us an update real quick, Mike.
Well, my activities for the last 6 years have been grandchildren and building a couple of construction projects. So I sort of backed off on 9/11 truth and some of the truth seeking, and then I sort of started sneaking back into it because I'm sort of addicted to it, and by 2010 I had figured out that a lot of people or most people didn't want to know about this, and most people were ignorant. So I was trying to figure out in these last 6 years, my real main interest has been, how and why are people so ignorant, and what system keeps us ignorant? And I made a lot of progress on that.
Really?
Which is,
does that anything to do with government school and propaganda and they, them, those?
Yeah, and the media. It's quite a science. It's there for anybody. It's not a secret. There's a lot of books been written on it, and there's a real progression of where they started this in the 19th century, how to figure out how to control people. It came to sort of became a written science by 1920, and it's out there. It's no secret.
You know, there's a lot of guys that I think that you, if you haven't already made friends with, we should introduce. Yeah, it looks like you guys got a meeting. Is it this Saturday? I guess this Saturday you're going to do it. Well, we have a party this Saturday, too. You might want to try and do a twofer, you know, except they're in freaking Mesa, you know. But there's a gentleman named Patrick Wood. Are you familiar with him? Technocracy Rising?
No.
He lives in Scottsdale or Fountain Hills or something. His name is Patrick Wood, and he has a website called technocracy.news. Technocracy.news, and he just declared war on the technocrats. Where his come to fame is, when each one of us have gotten involved in politics, they're always, you always see the chart. You know, it's the Council on Foreign Relations thing and the Trilateral Commission, okay? Where that came from, and I was introduced to him by Karen Johnson, Senator Karen Johnson. And where that came from, in the late 70s, he was some kind of a financial analyst on Wall Street or something that came across all these mergers and so on. It was the same people. There was a bunch of these common names that kept gobbling up everything. He's like, what the heck is going on? He meets Professor Sutton from the Hoover Institute, was working on the same kind of stuff. They eventually wrote a book that sold like 70,000 copies right away, and he was on Larry King, and they made a big deal out of it, and then boom, they shut it down. Oh, it's out of print, you can't buy it, and the bookstores wouldn't get it anymore. Nobody, and it was called Trilaterals Over Washington. And that Trilateral Commission thing, that all came from him and Professor Sutton's research. And we didn't know it because, you know, they give you all these charts and who and in the tinfoil of conspiracy of whatever, and you go, oh, okay. And then you find out that it was because of this book. So I'm going, okay. So now he's, you know, our age, older, kind of out there. And he just said, you know, like what you're saying, Mike, it is a science. Technocracy was a science of how to do this. And the goal was, I don't know, energy as a currency. And they, you know, we're going on oil for the rest of our life. So this is someone that I'm hoping you guys will get to meet. You'll find him to be a kindred spirit. And there's a lot of this stuff going on. So while you guys have been gone, now, Rick, the thing I threw Mike to you and get that all taken care of is the pronunciation of your name. We've run before. I've known each other for a long time. It's Folks, right?
Folks, yes.
Yeah, F-O-W-L-K-E-S.
That's correct.
It's a funky Folks spelling, okay? All right, so Folks. I remember us trying to get that before. So, Mike, what brought you back? Is there some particular issue that you're going to go ahead and, you know, champion this round?
Well, yes and no. I spent a lot of this last 6 years listening to what you call the normal people, or you can also call the stupid people, I'm sorry to say. And a lot of these people are, you know, people I know in church, people with good formal educations, people with experience. And I was trying to figure, and they would ask me questions like, what about ISIS? What about gun control? And I knew I couldn't say anything because I knew so much more than they did that it'd be impolite or they wouldn't understand. So I'd listen to them. And so what I did, my latest deal, is I made a 3-hour YouTube video.
Mm.
And it's called People Are Stupid. It's called People Are Stupid, A History of the National Security State. And so I sort of took what could be proven, because I worked for decades as an attorney doing litigation, and I took what could be proven. Oh, see, what I figured out was that, see, people really aren't, people are ignorant, but people are every bit as intelligent and able to reason, certainly as I am or more. But people are not presented with the information, you see, with the facts. And so they reach different conclusions because they don't have access to the facts because they're being fed, poppycock.
Well, we're going to try and share with you. I found the video already. People Are Stupid, or the National Security State. Okay? Or on. It's or, right?
Yeah, or.
Yeah, or.
The National Script. Yeah, I'm going to put it up in the show notes.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Wait, let's go back to this picture. Wow, that brings back memories. This was 4409 and Thomas and Westbrook and a lot of the guys. They had a guy with some land up on I-40. And what had happened is he had, you know, hey, man, it's on next to the highway. Knock yourself out. You can do whatever you want. And they put in telephone poles. What is it? Like six telephone poles. And then covered it in lath and plywood. And then they covered it in vinyl. And they could do whatever sign they wanted. And it was like, yep, we built the sign for however many thousands of dollars. And it's on the highway. We put whatever. That's PatriotsQuestion911.com. I remember that there's a bunch of stuff. There's Ron Paul stuff. There's the other. I think they finally sold that, you know. And it was a guy that lived in Winslow, I think, and Winslow, Arizona, on the corner. And he had, how was that, backhoe? I think he lent them, and they got it just came together. And Mike, you helped pay for that, didn't you?
Yeah, that was supposed to be a secret, but
okay.
But Morpheus
allegedly
was
Morpheus
was involved as well in 4409.
Yeah. I said, I think I probably said Thomas, but you know, yeah. He goes by Morpheus, you know. But the Morpheus, he was one of my an original listener to the show in 03. It used to be Morpheus from Anthem. He was up at Anthem,
yeah.
And he would, you know, distribute newspapers. And he was just freaked out that there was actually someone on the air, on the radio, that was saying the stuff that I was. He just couldn't believe that I, you know, like, undead for months. So he contacted me, and we became friends. So that's, yeah, you've been doing this for a long time. We got to tell the Brian Quigg thing real quick. Brian Quigg was a researcher that was looking at deep state CIA drug war connection of whatever. There was a murder here called the Temple Murder Case where some monks in the West Valley were just slaughtered, you know, and I'm not really sure. It was something to do with a drug ring of heroin from Thailand of something. I don't know. But the State Department got involved. There was, you know, Attorney General doing it. I mean, it was really weird cover-up kind of stuff. Well, Brian knew a lot of things, and there was a small newspaper that was distributed by the homeless called The Grapevine. And we were real supportive of that. It was a great idea. The homeless actually made money. Instead of just give us money standing at the off-ramp or something like that, they were there selling this newspaper. And people would give them a couple of bucks. They go, yeah, here's $1, $2. They're making bank. They were actually, you know, getting to stay in, you know, cheaper hotels or something, or they buy stuff. And they were actually surviving, distributing. And people supported it. They thought it was a great idea. But it was very critical of government, and the city went zoned of you're not allowed. They arrested people, and you can't, and kind of, because he would sell a 50-stack bundle of papers for like 10 bucks to these guys, and they'd turn that into 100 or something, you know? So it was funding, everything really was working well. Well, there was a series of articles that Brian was linking, and this, you know, all about the intelligence community and how they're part of the drug war and the links and naming names. I mean, he was getting real butthead about it. Well, Mike came on my show, and we were talking about various different things and stuff. Hey, Frank's here. Yay. Is that Maria? We'll get introduced in a little bit. What happened was he wrote these articles, and he was afraid to come on. He goes, I won't survive. Mike comes on, and he talked, I guess you're more high profile, we talk about a lot of things. Brian calls me, that was like a Friday, he called me that Saturday, he goes, hey, Mike was on, okay, I'll come on your show. It's Monday, he doesn't show up. I get a call from Mike or your sister, Brian was killed the night before, 2 o'clock in the morning, out in the middle of the road while he was in a shopping cart or some weird, what? So Brian, he had a lot of this stuff, and the web came online. You had a lot of videos. He did a lot of interviews. He was a real investigative journalist. And the second he'd been saying this, he goes, "No, they'll take me out." And they, finally, after you came on, he decided to come on, and then he was dead. And I go, "What the hell?" Fill in where I kind of messed that up, Mike.
Well, Brian had a website that was called DCIA, which means, of course, you know, get rid of the CIA. And that was a big interest in Brian's life, as well as the death of John Kennedy and the Bush family. And for years before Brian's death, we had talked about various things we had some agreement or understanding of in common. And he'd start talking about the Bush crime family. And at that point, I'd say, "Dude, I don't want to hear that. It's too scary, and I don't have any reason to think that's so." But unfortunately, in the intervening years after Brian's death, I can understand what the Bush crime what the phrase the Bush crime family means, unfortunately. But Brian was a great guy. He was truly a guy who did stuff for... He was he was a guy who was an altruist and a patriot and a really smart guy. He was way smarter than I was in the sciences, but I had a little bit I knew a little bit more about maybe reliability of facts and evidence, but Brian was really a great guy.
You know, a lot of the research we saw come available, the internet. You know, this is before the internet. This is actually videotape interviews that he had and research and reams. I've seen... When he passed, and one of you live in a nice home in Paradise Valley or Scottsdale, whatever, over there, and you had that space to organize and bring that stuff out and go through and organize all his, and that's what turns you into a conspiracy. You go, crap, you know?
Yeah, that's what really, really messed me up, because Brian's mother gave me all his stuff, and I started going through Brian's... The data he had assembled, the videos he had actually made, the audio recordings, and it was scary stuff. And
well, by the time that he had done all of this, the internet just started getting going. You just started having broadband. You know, it's 03. It's kind of like, yeah, I can digitize all this stuff, and it can be available on the internet, man. You know, the World Wide Web. So he was really adamant about getting that stuff up on the web. Yeah. And it had a big impact. So from now, Michael Schoen comes from a prosperous, well-known family here. You're an attorney yourself. You know, you're retired now, but you got time and money to kind of, you know, hang out and see what's up and observe and enjoy grandkids. But you have to understand that from our perspective, there is so much. I don't think I know. I know how bad these guys are. And we know what we're up against. We think we know. I mean, it could be even a lot worse than what we can imagine. But there is definitely something there. Now, Rick, you know, you got involved this 9/11 because a structural engineer. So, architects and engineers kind of thing, right?
Yes, architects and engineers for 9/11 truth.
So, this is what got you... Because I remember you running for Corporation Commission.
Yes.
And you run for what other office? You run for Congress?
No, only Corporation Commission.
You just keep
several
hammering
times
on that. Yeah, go get some. Go get some. And they are, the utility kind of in the pocket of the... They're bad. And, freedom good, government bad, every time we look around. But we'll get into more Rick's story and so on, and we just yak it. But I tell you, 9/11, just supporting evidence of they're bad. We'll be right back.
Arcade City is a ride-sharing app built by drivers, not a mega corporation. As a driver with Arcade City, you can keep all of what you earn. Sign up now to drive for or ride with Arcade City at arcade.freetalklive.com. Arcade City is connecting drivers directly with riders and has been making headlines for disrupting the ride-sharing industry. Sign up now at arcade.freetalklive.com. That's arcade.freetalklive.com.
LRN.fm is proud to announce our official listening apps for Android and iOS devices. Now you can easily tune into our streams anywhere, anytime on your smartphone or tablet. Just visit apps.lrn.fm or search for LRN.fm in the Android or Apple app stores. Please download, rate us 5 stars, then share the link on your social media and let your friends and family know how you're listening to LRN.FM. Download it now, free, at apps.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Yeah, we had Patriots for 9/11 up there so long. Is that even a site anymore, or is somebody you're still doing that?
No, that's a big site. I was never involved with that site, but that's an excellent site. PatriotsQuestion911.org. That's secondary to AE911Truth.com. It's .org.
Yep.
No, it's PatriotsQuestion911.com, and it's AE911Truth.org.
You know, this is, I've been covering, of course, since the beginning. You know, I was one of the reasons why we were, well, it was, excuse me, it was Jack and Isabel McVaugh. You know, that they were the ones that, you know, first sponsored and funded us doing the radio. They were, you know, they're, you know, retired wealthy contractors that he built, you know, a lot of structures and things, and come out here, and he built a nice home out in the desert off, totally off grid back in the 90s, 80s. I mean, he was like, nope, I want to be off. And just a really nice guy, philanthropic, Arizona School Choice Trust, you know, where you had private school tuition funded to poor children that qualify for this, you know, private help that they raised. I mean, it's just awesome people. So they made sure that our kids got a good education, that we were, our children were the first ones to sign up as soon as they were eligible, bam, boom. Then they're going, Ernie, there is, everybody is beating the war drums. We're going to freaking war. We need, when I sold my restaurant, they said, we need somebody on the air that's not, you know, going to be banging the war drum all the time. And I'm going, okay. So that's how I got on the air. That was from Jack and Isabel McVaugh, you know, funding, you know, the first sponsorship of a 13-week contract, and then it went from there. But I'm going, there is a lot of good people we've come across over the years. Now, Rick, you came into libertarian politics and corporation commission running and, you know, freedom-oriented, and, oh, my God, I'm a structural engineer, and I know that was crap, you know. So your motivation for just getting the truth out and being part of this is what? Where does that come from? Were you thinking grandma or something?
No, I'm thinking if we just turn our heads and put our heads in the sand and don't confront this these unanswered questions about 9/11 and the attacks and so forth, then history is a lie, and murderers get away with murder, and
winners write the history books, man.
The winners write the history books, sadly, and politicians and powers that be have a 9/11 is one of the excuses to, you know, carry on a perpetual, never-ending war that is putting us in the poorhouse.
Well, you know, in 8 and 12, especially 8, I mean, they just milked the living crap. 04, 8 campaign, it's in 9/11, Rudy Giuliani got $100,000 every time he said Islamo-fascism or something. I mean, he was motivated, you know. And 9/11. Then you get into 12, it's still a lot now in a post-9/11 world, isn't used as much.
Not as much.
But I tell you, man, it was the foundation. It was 3 weeks after 9/11 was our first Freedom Summit. And we had a lot of the big boys up there. You know, they're common names now, all the Freedom Summit people that we have. But in the Liberty community, they were well-known, but mainstream, they weren't. And it was, here it comes. And we could see it. And pretty much when 9/11 happened, a lot of us that understood how bad the government was and how they would use this, whether they did it or not, is not even the point. They were certainly, you know, don't let a good crisis go to waste. And they just had the word, we rule you now. And if you didn't get the memo, we're sending it, along with a badge and a gun, you know. And this is what we had been fighting and warning, you know, certainly Mike and I, you know, for a long time. And here it is. So, Rick, your efforts is joining 9/11 Architects and Engineers. Architects and Engineers.
For 9/11 Truth.
For 9/11 Truth. Okay.
Right.
.org.
AE911Truth.org.
And you're.
Learn more.
A Andy or AE?
Say again?
When they do the URL, they want to find it. It's Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, but I mean, right. The URL is A and Afrosandy or
no,
AE?
Just AE911truth.org.
Okay, there we go. I'll make sure I get it right. And it's on the archive. People can just click on it.
Yes.
But we've had, God, who's the gentleman that runs that?
Richard Gage.
Yeah, Richard Gage. We've had on quite a few times. So you're being drawn to that as something to do because of your profession and you know better.
Right.
How's been your experience with that? These guys know what's going on. You're helping. You're making some progress. Give me an update.
We're making progress. We're raising awareness slowly but surely, I believe. My main thrust has been to try to contact other engineers to get them involved in signing this petition, this online petition. In particular, structural and civil engineers and architects who are more familiar with the fallacy and the obvious untruths of the official government version of the events that day and how those buildings came down, should be, we're encouraging them to examine this evidence, sign the petition, raise awareness that we don't know the truth yet.
Well, you know, the one thing that architects and engineers have been very adamant about, and a lot of people, you know, now they know this, Building 7. You know, there was a third building. No, it was probably, there was a couple other buildings, too. But, there were seven buildings that went down?
No, only three went down.
Okay. No, you're
one,
talking
two,
about
building.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Well, they're... All seven buildings went down through explosive demolition. Now, let me explain that. On September 11, buildings 1, 2, and 7 went down. Buildings 3, 4, 5, and 6 were badly damaged, but not damaged enough that they would fall down on their own, so they had to take them out by explosive demolition a couple months later, believe it or not.
You know, Building 7, to us, early on, you start getting... I remember it was Dave Von Kleist did a movie called In Plain Sight. And what he originally did, there was a French website and a crew that was going, no, this is all crap. And they were all, freedom fries, damn French, we'll get some. So it was to try to debunk them. And he's going, damn, man, they had some lot of good, I think we got screwed is what I think, I remember Charles and I doing a show that we did more than a half hour with anybody, but he did a 3-hour show with him one time, on just 9/11. I go, damn, we got a lot of stuff out. We had Loose Change guys on and they gave us a bunch of movies and we gave stacks, hundreds of them to, Senator Karen Johnson. And she gave them all the legislators and Manila PACs and everything and announcing. And then Jesse Ventura is like, hey, man, I can't believe the state legislator in Arizona. So he came here and Charles and they did it. So from the beginning, we've been really covering this and showing no fear and just trying to find the truth. The thing is, though, Richard Gage and architects and engineers kind of went at physics. They're going, look, man, this is, you just need math.
Yes.
This isn't like, the magic bullet kind of stuff. They can get away with this stuff anymore. We got visual evidence of what's going on. Building 7, why is that so special? What makes that so special?
Well, Building 7 supposedly failed due to a local failure. There were only isolated fires on like six and like two, just a few floors of a 47-story building, 47-story tall building. Then suddenly and rapidly came down within 7 seconds. If you put the image of Building 7 coming down alongside a known controlled demolition of a building of equivalent size, you can see they're identical. The official explanation, actually, with the 9/11 Commission report, they didn't even mention
Building what?
Building 7, right? They only talked about 1 and 2. Which were hit by planes, and supposedly those came down by the office fires that melted the steel, and boom, they came down, and then they burned for 40-something days.
I'm like, my whole thing, when I started radio, you got to address this. I mean, everybody's calling, they want to get, what's your thing on 9/11, you conspiracy libertarian? And I got one question. I got one question. Where the hell did all the molten steel come from?
Yes.
That's all I want to know.
Right.
They go, yeah, but what? I go, don't care. Where'd the molten steel come
exactly.
from?
Exactly.
Yeah, but you saw in the Islamo kind of whatever. Yeah, where'd all the molten steel come from?
And it burned for days and days, months.
Yeah, weeks. No, they're pulling it out.
And it's still melted. Yeah. A month later, it's still melted.
I am flabbergasted by how poorly the media did. We'll get back in. That's where Mike will come in. Oh, let me tell you about the media.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now, there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
This is your Roberts & Roberts Brokerage Daily Precious Metals Update. In early trading Wednesday, gold is $2 lower at $1,345 per ounce. Silver is 15 cents lower at $19.70 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at $571. With silver heading lower, this is a great time to buy on the dip. Get started today and give us a call at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer.
What's the question?
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Okay, I tell you what the question is. You know, am I allowed to be left alone? I'm a leave me alone. They always go, what are you, Ernie, an anarchist? I mean, compared to what? You know, I mean, my choice is this or none. I vote none, you know. But I just want to be a leave me aloneist. Well, that's not on their list of options. So, Rick, you know, what are you guys doing for 9/11? You guys sitting there just kind of, you're going to have a meeting, you're going to plan it, you get the boys around the table, and you'll have a few beers, and let's do some ermitizing, have some fun. What do you want to do?
Well, there are going to be some, 9/11 memorial gatherings around the valley. The AE 9/11 Truth group is trying to get people together to hand out flyers, to share information, to spread the truth and about the events, and also to promote. I guess there's going to be a showing of a film 2 days after 9/11. The venue is yet to be determined. But
what's the film?
It's going to be at ASU by the ASU students for 9/11 Truth, and that's run by a guy named Rick Cohen, but it's going to be a good film. I don't know the film.
It's a film. I've seen the film before. It's basically an interview, basically, with one of the, Richard Gage, and then also someone from the firefighters for 9/11 Truth. I forget the gentleman's name, but they basically have a filmed discussion about the 9/11 Truth. And
you know, the firefighters, we were there.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yes. We know exactly what happened. I was standing there when it happened, you know?
Yes.
So, and we've interviewed a lot of, Rodriguez, the maintenance guy that was there and inside. Yes. I mean, on and on and on. It's enough that I get it.
Right.
You know, but I not everybody gets it.
Yes, laws were broken.
What is it, the point that you go, yeah, then they go, yeah, everybody's like, yeah, I get it, I know, now what? I mean, what is the now what? You still want everybody to know that, don't believe these guys, they did something, it wasn't what they said? I mean, is that the goal?
The goal, among other things, is to get to the truth of the matter, to the justice for the victims, and also to expose the false pretense under which these world war on terror, never ending war on terror, has been based on in part.
Oh, that's a good one. The war on terror. That was a war against a tactic.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll end.
No, never end.
You know, this is, we've watched this. You know, Mike, you've watched us descend, and as tinfoil hat as anybody from the outside would think Brian Quigg was, you know, you look back and you go, wow, I only wish it was 10 times as bad as he said. You know, it's so much worse. And did you, have you gotten to the point to where it's like a philosophical, it's a us thing, it's a man in the mirror deal, or is there somebody out there that, or something that needs to be got?
Well, I don't understand the question.
No, is it us? I mean, do we need to edge? Is it something that we're allowing this to happen? Or
oh, yeah.
Is there a target out there? You want? If that guy went to jail, we'd be all fixed.
No. You got a real problem, and that is human nature. And power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's what's happening. That's what the framers of our Constitution, our country, were afraid of. And they tried to organize it so that wouldn't happen. But then over time, the Supreme Court and various institutions have worked assiduously to concentrate power in one area so they can abuse it. That's a natural characteristic of human nature that our founders recognized. And that's what's happening, pardon me for interjecting my personal belief, but you know, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down, died on a cross to save us, and there's still work to be done. In other words, it's hard to deal with human nature, and that's what's been happening, and it's going to continue. And it's just well camouflaged, and it's more scientific now.
You know, there was Davi Barker is a good friend that's staying here now. He did an essay called Authoritarian Sociopathy. And in the last couple of editions of the newspaper that we've done, we made sure that we included that. And the whole thing is that he's talking about, it's not, a lot of us think that, you know, bad people are attracted to positions of power and they abuse it. And the point that he was making, yeah, there may be some truth to that, but he goes, no, it's the power that turns people bad. It changes their perspective. You know, the Milgram and the Stanford experiments and a bunch of others, he's going, no, the power is, you know, the power corrupts, you know, in this absolutely thing. And I always thought, it kind of draws him. And he had a lot of evidence that shows how just having the power, and especially if it's seen as legitimate, it turns you into a monster. If you have a culture that makes it like, nah, you don't have legitimate power. That's the only time power ever acts legitimately is when they think that their power is illegitimate. They have to, like, prove that they're legitimate. And I'm going, wow, that's a powerful psychological understanding. So it's always eliminate the power. I remember John Buttrick running for governor. He's a, you know, federal judge now. And when he was running for governor, he's going, you want to see, it's not money. That, you know, money always finds its way to power. You have to eliminate the power. It's all about the power. Then you go to the bad guys and you go, what is the purpose to get power? To do what? To nothing, to have power. The goal is power. That is the thing. So this central, so I distilled it down. It comes down to decentralization versus centralization. The more you decentralize, the better. And because of the internet and cryptocurrencies and encryption and communication, I mean, it's going to start happening. That's, you know, like the dome stuff or aquaponics or your chickens that we got. It's all decentralization of power. It's not like I'm going to have a big giant impact on it. It's just a step in that direction. So this centralization of power that you guys are up against, you know, Rick, I got to ask you, what do you think it is? I mean, is it just the philosophy of power, or is there some entity or something you're up against?
Yeah, we don't know. All we know for sure is that we don't know, and that we've been given a limited picture of what really happened in that day, and the truth has really been covered up so far because the facts don't, you know, our observations don't square with the facts, the laws of physics, and so forth. We don't claim to know or think who's behind it. We're just trying to raise the flag that, hey, there's a big lie going on.
It ain't what they said.
Right.
All right. Well, Dr. Frank, you wanted to ask them something.
Good morning, guys. Obviously, you know, I love my country, fear my government. Between the Tuskegee experiments and false flag events, obviously, I don't trust them. At the same time, the government can't tie its shoelaces half the time. So pulling off such a conspiracy is what questions me about 9/11. I can see it both ways. That said, freedom of speech should be certainly upheld, and I don't like the way truthers are condemned for that reason alone. I think you guys are patriots just for the fact that you guys are standing up, so I just want to make that clear. That said, Ernie mentioned you guys are the nuts and bolts guys. My family comes from an engineering background as well. It's why we kind of talk about the Trump report a bit. That being said, nuts and bolts, Popular Mechanics, as you know, did that famous magazine in 2005, which then turned into the book 2006.
Yeah, 1 minute.
Which was the ultimate, essentially, breakdown of Popular Mechanics, of engineers going through every single claim and supposedly disproving it from a science and engineering background. So being that they have their perspective, how is your background different, or your perspective as fellow engineers?
Well, I'm not...
This is the question, and there's some history to this. Popular Mechanics went on a campaign. It was like 04, 05 or something, and Charles and I were producing. That next day after that went out, he went on a media tour, and it started with the morning show, and Charles and I, you know, producing the show. He came on, and Charles beat the crap out of him. He canceled the rest of his day of media appearances.
Oh, wow.
You know, and what it was is he was just making up. It was just a propaganda thing of that. So it was called Debunking 9/11. I remember it was a Popular Mechanics, which is Hearst, which is, you know what's coming. So the evidence that they would do and what they were saying was they just made it up, you know, on the spot, and Charles called them on a bunch of stuff, and it kind of, yeah, this isn't going to work the way the whistle stop tour isn't going to go the way they are. But his question is, what is the evidence that they're putting against you? You got architects and engineers, and they go, it's this. The 9/11 Commission, you know, well, if we did say anything about Building 7, we would have said this. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, what are you up against as far as expertise?
Well, I all I can say is the if you look at the evidence of any licensed engineer or practicing engineer can see that, hey, fires don't bring 120 story buildings down in 12 seconds. They don't bring fires on two floors don't bring a 47-story building down in 7 seconds.
But they make big, giant, molten lava fields of steel.
That last, that burn and melt for, and can be sensed from outer space for over a month after the event. There's just so many obviously unanswered questions here that don't square with the official version of the facts that... we don't know what we're up against other
it's
than we know
the message
we don't,
of liberty
we're not at the truth yet.
Okay, we're going into archive. We can still yak it a little bit before you got to go. When do you have to leave before you get fired?
Oh, I've got my own business, so it's not like I'm going to be fired or anything. I just got to get back to get some stuff finished.
Yeah. I'm just like, the glass slipper is going to turn you into a pumpkin.
No, not at all. I'm plus or minus.
I just want to be clear. I'm not trying to nail you guys on that. I just was curious because I did some research ahead of time just to see how the other side sees it. What evidence from the engineering structural side, and that keeps coming up, that Popular Mechanics magazine. So from their point of view, they put the kibosh on all of the science engineering perspective.
No, it was
from their perspective. Why not? That's what I'm curious. I'm curious now. It's been 10 years. Right. How do you guys, have you guys now gone point for point against their points, or where are you with that?
Well, I did product liability defense for 10 years, and that was all scientific evidence, and all the stuff I won was based using science and physics. It's common to have expert witnesses for sale. So I never even read Popular Mechanics, because I consider it. But the National Geographic, they had a special on the television. I watched some of it till I got sick.
Yeah, that was total.
Wait a minute.
The
point I got sick at was when they took some like sparklers. They had some milled aluminum and said, "Dude, this is the equivalent of thermite, and look, it can't burn anything." And that was their big proof. Well. Thermite is a major military cutter explosive, and it burns everything, and that was found in the residue of the World Trade Center, a whole bunch of it to indicate that was used as one of the charges that destroyed the structures. But I guess I would say overall, those are really superficial, stupid analyses. If you want to look at thorough analysis of it, there's a website called Journal of 9/11 Studies.com, and it's got really excellent literature written by people who are competent. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, yeah. Here's some basic facts. Steel, structural steel, melts at about 2,500 degrees. Structural steel with fire protection on it melts at an even higher temperature. Jet fuel burns at about 1,200 degrees. Office fires, even lower temperatures. There's no way that the fires from the jet fuel and or the office fires that ensued could have brought those buildings down instantly. There's not enough energy. So the official version is that a little block of the buildings at the top of the towers fell down on the lower blocks, and then everything started cascading down, progressive failure. Well, that's
straight
not,
down.
Right, but what they don't explain is there's not enough energy there to not only, you know, generate that progressive cascading failure, but also to turn concrete into dust and blow it all over Manhattan Island. It was clearly an explosive controlled demolition event. If you look at the films, you can see the squibs preceding the failure of the structure as they go down. Squibs are like pre-explosions that.
Okay, this is where we get into the media control. You know, Mike, real quick, tell us about the video, what you did. You're describing it, what it is, and what you went through. And then I want to get in kind of the media and how they're able to get away with what Rick just said.
You mean the three-hour video?
Yeah.
Yeah, I posted that about 10 days ago on YouTube. People Are Stupid, A History of the National Security State. Well, I just took 28 events starting in December 7th, 1941, and in date order, and that our government has been involved in, and said, okay, here they are. Here's some resources to study them. Here's hints. Here's study hints. Here's principles of analyzing deep fraud, and here are experts and resources. And you guys, the reader or the viewer, go figure this out, because I figured it out, and I can prove all these can be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. So I was just trying to show the progression of, I guess you could say, misconduct by our government and,
Misconduct.
Yeah. And so I think I've gotten some really good feedback on that video from people, and it'll help someone who wants to begin to understand this themselves.
But Donna has it at the top. We got it in the show archive. Donna put it. I didn't know it was that recent. You just did it. And you're taking it from, you know, rules of evidence. You're a product liability kind of attorney of science, and I know how to do this. So I'm going to do this with each of these events, and we're going to go through using what? You know, some principles.
The principles that establish reliable evidence. I did 17 years of what I now call deep fraud cases. This was after the product liability. And These government operations are very well executed, deep frauds done by people who are super competent, super prepared. Oftentimes, a cover-up is not as good as the event. But the literature's all out there. People can't take, say, my word for it. People have to make their own decision. They have to view the evidence. And that's what I did in this video, was try and establish a framework and a structure and helpful information, help people figure this out themselves rather easily.
Figure
and
what out? That they're bad?
And it's not hard to do today because we have the internet, which is awesome.
Yeah, no, I think it's relatively easier for people to be put in a position of going, I think I'm being BS'd. Then what?
Well, I don't think you can whip the government and whip all the financial institutions that are making money off it, but you can protect yourself if you have an understanding of the depth of depravity of our leaders. and our
beans, rice, and silver.
Yeah, then you can you can understand when it's getting worse. You can understand what you can do to protect yourself and your family, and you'll be motivated to do it. To stand up to these guys past a certain point means you're going to get killed.
Yeah.
Or you're going to get thrown in jail in solitary, and you're going to be naked.
When you started doing, started coming out, I remember it was kind of like on my show 03. And then right after that, you know, Brian figures it's clear to and dead. And you had to be like, damn. And then when you went through all of his stuff, so I'm just like, how far out are you? And you run for office? Have people approached you and said, Mike, man, just shut up or be dead, or you might be dead, or what kind of threats have you gotten?
And I don't want to, let's put it this way. From normal people, they are afraid of me because they're afraid to learn what's going on.
Yeah.
And I am very, very courteous and very respectful, so I don't yak about this stuff, but people are afraid.
There we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Alright, we're saving the planet here. Go to the archive. We've got a bunch of other good stuff in the break. Captain Joe, we're just going to keep yakking. This is, as activists and as, you know, and a lot of these guys, they know me from, you know, a lot of political activities and all the stuff that we've done here in Phoenix. And then, of course, you know, later, you knew me, you know, before the Levolution and all that kind of stuff. And they go, yep, Ernie's going to, you know, be doing what he's doing. The thing that I always look for, what's the solution? What is the, look, they're bad. They go, we get it, man. You know, leave me alone. I'm on vacation. So it's to do what? You want to motivate people to what? I mean, what is it you're hoping to accomplish? They're going to change their behavior. They're going to get solar. They're going to, you know, get off the grid. They're going to, you know, learn to lick the right rock or frog to heal themselves. I mean, what are they? You want them to do to extricate themselves? Yeah, either one of you.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to do anything other than
Rick Folks.
Right. I'm not trying to do anything, other than to point out that right now history is a lie. The facts about 9/11, the official government version doesn't square with physical reality and observations. And I'm just trying. I think it's very important to expose that, and so that I'm not what people do with it. I have no idea. But if we just turn all of us, especially who are knowledgeable and comprehend that this is a big, huge cover up, and if we do nothing, then history is a lie, and murderers get away with murder. So
make history not a lie. Mike, what's the goal? I mean, you're wanting the what?
My goal was that as an attorney, I saw a lot of people get wiped out, people who were defenseless, who didn't have resources. And in these government operations, they're wiping out all sorts of people. And I felt, well, I could try to stand up in a very small way to help defenseless people, victims. People who are victims of the war on terror. Are many of the people in the United States were impoverished because of all the money we throw down the toilet on this war on terror. We could have a lot of beautiful parks, beautiful educational opportunities, but no, we throw it all down the toilet. Then we rant about how great a deal that is, our sweet war on terror. So I really wanted to do something to help the defenseless, to protect the defenseless in a very small way. Please understand, I've hardly done anything. But so that was my motivation. In terms of beating these guys, I think it's pretty hard to beat these people. But I think that...
Heck, I don't want to beat them. I just want to survive them.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to try and do what's right. You know, if we threw our hands up and just said, you can do whatever you want, Mr. Government, you know, we'd be, when we went home at night after work, they'd put us in chains. In other words, it can get worse.
Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, how bad can it get? A lot worse. It could be like, I remember saying in the 90s, yeah, can we hurry up and just get to a police state so we can leave? You know, I but then you're thinking as it gets closer to that police state, you're like, damn, man, do we have to? You know, do we have to? I don't know what you think, Rick. I mean, do we have to? It has to get really bad. Is the economics going to get really? Is that what's going to flip people? Going to get up and go, what? It's like Grapes of Wrath. I don't know what happened, but I'm going to go find out. It's the end of the movie, you know. I'm going to go find out. Them damn capitalists, you know, or whatever it was. But the thing is, what do you think is going to be the trigger? What's going to, the tipping point, the fourth turning? I mean, all these predictions of just a general opinion. And that's kind of been my thing. It's just, it's a general opinion. That government sucks. Then what happens? I don't know. But, man, when you get that opinion, you're a lot closer to whatever solution. So I'm just, what do you think is going to be the bellwether for a solution or an advancement to the good side for you, Rick?
To the good side? I'm not sure.
So you're just like, just truth, man. Just know the truth, damn it. I'm a structural engineer. I just know they're BS.
Right. But I think, sadly, the trigger point, so-called trigger point, is going to be our government can't continue to pay the light bill with a credit card and pay the credit card bill with another credit card and continue printing money out of nowhere. And
pretty pressed. Damn it! And a law and I passed, and you got a new script of whatever the hell.
So financially, I think it's all going to come crashing down before too much longer.
You know, what do you guys think? I mean, you're you know, kind of numbers guys, you know, and you know, Mike, you've seen money, you know, flow around. Cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, that kind of thing, just extricating from the system. Just, you know, we made you obsolete. We're over here now. An international and bite me, and a generational thing. Has that popped up on your radar at all?
Yeah, it's popped up, but it's still pretty small. There's more currencies being invented. You know, there's the, what do they call those? That's not an ADR, but they're inventing already a new currency to when our dollar gets wiped out.
No, SDR, special
SDRs,
drawing rights.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm not an expert in that area. What I knew was how to take certain events and understand and be able to assemble proof beyond a reasonable doubt as to the government's misconduct involved in them. And that, if you can understand events, just like the towers coming down, then you can. Get an orientation and reason from there. I try and look at specific concrete things, and I think that's what Rick did. He looked at things that were scientifically provable. I tried to do the same thing.
But the pressure that comes back at you guys, especially being a prominent individual as you, because, and you're not like throwing gazillions of dollars at everything. You know, you got some activists, and they go, Mike, you know, for $2,000, I can change the planet. Yeah, looks like you probably could. Here's a couple $1,000. Go peace out and do it. You've been very generous and targeted things of small efforts for big impact, and you've been very generous with that. But I'm just going, you know, you're looking at a change in people based on the evidence that you're showing of all this pattern of things. You know, that's like what your video's about. There's a pattern here. There's something else in charge. And once they go, hey, Mike, thanks for pointing that out. You're absolutely right. It is unjust. It's a lie. It's crap. And now what?
Well, I don't know what, Ernie. I am just an individual like everyone else that's listening in here. I can do what I can do. I can do a little bit, and I try and do my little bit, you know? And I believe that in the next world, I'm in some manner means I'm going to be judged. What did I do with my talents? I got to do something. Yeah. And I don't know where it's going to go, and I don't see any big result thus far, but I'm I'm going to try and do what's right. What else am I supposed to do? Go say, oh, I'm just going to go to the ball game and sit down and eat Cheetos, you know?
A lot of guys would go, yes, that's exactly what I do.
Well, I don't, you know, that's not me. I'm not going to do that.
No, it's not you. I've known you a long time. This is, I'm really glad you guys are doing, I want to help. Is there, you know, do you have a specific plan or you're just kind of, you know, we need to resurrect this time? Because the 9/11 thing was such a foundation upon which all this other crap and surveillance state and everything was done. And then you start having, you know, it's Generation Next. You have the Snowden guys in there. They're just counting on them just being a good little drone. You went to government school, didn't you? You know? So what they do is they start to turn on the machine. And they're like, damn it, you're so freaking not allowed. Have you had any kind of resistance? Has there been some licensing or government thing or coming after you, either of you guys, because you are on the list of opposing the official story? Wait to answer that question when we come back here on Declare Your Independence. Because you're wondering, you know, if you're a leader in the community and you're running for office in Congress and using that to bring attention to this stuff, and you're a prominent individual or got a license with the government, what do they do or say?
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollar is being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, and let's get started today.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
They understand, you know, what's going on, what the real battle is. And the first thing is, you know, truth, you know, justice and American way, whatever the heck that is, you know. But the big thing is always starts off with truth. That's why with Freedom's Phoenix, when we first started, it was like uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. I am just so tired of being lied to. The whole purpose of Freedom's Phoenix was something we had in our mind since 96. When the video hit the internet, boom, 05, we went beta in October of 05. So it's been well over 10 years we've been doing this. Hundreds of thousands of entries. It's just what V for Vendetta said. He goes, freedom is a perspective. Well, we share that perspective. And this perspective that you have on freedom is just, what are you hoping people would hope for? I mean, you would have them hope for what? And when you do all this work, I want to finish off on what we left on in the last break, is how much pressure have you gotten, Rick? I mean, they threaten your license. Is somebody, you didn't get a contract, you're one of them. Has there been any pressure on you for having this opinion?
I can't report any such pressure or any threats, you know, openly. I guess I'm not a big enough player.
I don't know. Mike is, you know, he's... They're afraid of the Schoen family name. I mean, there's where it's U-Haul, man. I mean, you know, there's when you get involved in anything, somebody has an opinion. They want to give you a phone call.
Well, I don't know if I've experienced that overtly, but I just think of myself as one individual, I've tried to go easy confronting people. I don't want to confront people because that's not a good learning environment. If somebody's interested, I'll talk to them, and most people don't want to deal with this. Most people have their life totally occupied, and most people are in some areas struggling, and they can't go solve the problems of the world. So I try and go easy on it.
In what way? I mean, you're just like, I'm just sharing. I just want to be, don't hate me. I'm just the messenger.
No. I think because I was very active up through 2010, people I know and relatives and a lot of other people, they know that I know a lot of stuff. And they know I know my stuff, and they don't want to be confronted with it. And I don't confront them. People are afraid of this, of these issues. They're certainly afraid of 9/11. Ernie, remember when I did those 9/11 challenges where I offered all money, $100 an hour, all these many different people, sent all these checks out? You remember that?
Yeah, I remember we talked about it on the... Tell us that program, what you were doing.
Well, I mean, I did it a bunch of different ways, but I basically offered, the Fox News team $20,000, and then I had a bunch of advertisements and stuff for ASU science classes, and then I went to the Arizona Republic editorial board and sent them checks, and these are good checks for money. Said, if you'll just look at the evidence for 10 hours, and I gave them the evidence, and then sign an affidavit that the buildings came down through explosive demolition. I mean, they came down through aircraft impact and resultant fires and not through explosive demolition, then you can keep all that money. But you have to sign the affidavit. I get the affidavit. I can publicize it. So nobody would sign that because everybody knew in their heart of hearts that darn thing came down through explosive demolition.
Got some press on that.
Nobody wanted
some press on that.
Wait a minute. Nobody wanted $100 an hour, and these are all sorts of people. I had it online, a challenge, and
it was during one of your congressional campaigns.
Yeah. I had two guys who responded positively. One was a guy who said he was a plaintiff attorney. He said, "Mike, your money is safe." And another guy was a famous engineer. And he said, yeah, I agree with you. He wrote me a letter. I still got the letter today.
After he watched, so you did watch it?
Yeah. He looked at the stuff and he said, I'm not going to do any challenge here. You're right. But everybody else afraid. The Fox 10 news team, they backed out. They had a couple excuses, and I tried to catch them on their excuses. And the same thing with the Arizona editorial board and a bunch of people.
We're up against something else. Truth is not the goal.
Right,
it's something else. What is it? Compliance.
Well, people are afraid. People are afraid. People want to keep.
Fear.
They want to keep their job. They want to get enough money so they can afford a car that doesn't break down. They want to have enough money so they can get real health insurance for their kids. They'd like to send their kids to a good school, but they can't. They're a part of the system. They don't want to rock the boat, and I understand that.
Well, there has to be America. Grew up, I'm old enough to remember that integrity and truth and honor and all that Superman stuff, actually had value. It meant something, until the point it got to where, poor guys don't drive as many Lamborghinis or something. I'm not sure what it got supplanted by. What is it? Acceptance? You Zieg Heil harder than the other guy? I mean...
No, this country has been getting screwed economically since 1946 when we started exporting manufacturing. And you're exporting the opportunity for most people to have some sort of a job that gives them some sort of a nice standard of living. And so people have been having more and more pressure on them every year for the last 50 years.
So the middle class was the threat to the Leviathan state.
I don't know. I'm not that smart.
They just milked them until they're not middle class anymore.
They screwed them. The super rich and the political, the super rich have become international. They're going to move to another country or they live in a gated community. And they don't care.
You're not like a compound fortification. You live in a nice Paradise Valley area, but you can just drive into your and around the circle. Hello. Are you worried about your security at all? Or you got dogs, But I mean, so what? So what's your main concern? And you don't live in a compound like these guys, but you're going up against them.
Well, I try not to make enemies. See, that's really important. I try and treat every. I want to treat everybody with decency, including the bad guys. Okay, everybody I want to treat with decency, so people don't hate me. That's what our country does. You run around the world making enemies, in search of enemies. We want enemies. Our national security state, our intelligence organizations, and our military industrial governmental complex, they want enemies. They foster the Taliban, the Mujahideen, and Al-Qaeda, and all that. They're funding indirectly ISIS through Saudi Arabia and formerly Turkey and Israel, okay? So we want jobs. Jobs grow. Yeah. You tell them, Rick. Tell them.
Well, yeah, good point. I mean, that's...
Yep, and it right there in the break, and you had your chance. We'll go into the archive, Rick, express himself. When we come back, we'll go to Rick, because he's got to go one of these days. He's got a job, and he's his own boss, so he's like, he's going to fire himself or something. He's got to get to work.
My clients will find
him. Yeah, you got work to do, but he's sharing time with us. We'll take advantage of it when we come back in just a little bit here on Declare Your Independence.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
We're just yakking it here on Declare Your Independence with some good old friends. You have Dr. Frank is in studio getting to the Trump report. He might join here in a little bit, but I haven't seen the Rick folks for a long time, and Mike Schoen's been kind of, subterranean, and they're coming out. They're coming out again. They need another wave of you need to understand that government is bad. Be good. I'm really glad that you we got to just catch up and say, yo, what's up? Because this has been, we've been doing this for a long time. And Rick, you have your licensed individual by the man of whatever, and that's been a lot of control on a lot of people. And I think advocacy for 9/11 truth, and certainly from architects and engineers kind of perspective, that has been it's much safer now. I mean, there's not as much ridicule, or they you get a little bit more time, or people's eyes glaze over and they go, I don't want to talk about it. What's your experience?
My experience, because I do a lot of outreach to other engineers, trying to get them to sign the petition and come forward, and the response is off the record, Rick. Yeah. I look at the evidence, it's obviously bogus. It's the official version of facts doesn't square with physics. But then when it comes to signing the petition, we can't do that. We do federal contracts. I've heard a lot of engineers sadly say, yeah, I agree with you, but I'm not going to put my name on that for fear that I will lose out. We will lose out with government contracts and so forth. And,
I'm wondering, it's gotten so thick, the ties to licensing, to money, to grants, to contracts, to building projects. I don't know the difference between, we're watching it happen, between this and 30s Germany or the Soviet Union or whatever. It's all, everything's, interested parties in the state. I mean, it's the state, Leviathan. So, Mike, I'm from your perspective, is it a culture thing? Is it an opinion thing? Is it, a legal thing? Are you looking for, we need some trials, some Nuremberg trials or something? What do you think would be something that would make you feel better? I'm like, okay, now we're, I can take a break now, because everybody knows something. What do you think would be good evidence of we're making the turn?
Boy, Ernie, I wish I could think that far ahead. I just tried to do what little I could. For me to figure out how it's going to turn, I don't know. I have prayed that Dick Cheney live a long life and in excellent health so that someday he can stand trial for capital crimes. And there's a lot of other people in there, but I don't know how it's going to turn. I'm just trying to do what I can do, and it's something little. That's it. I actually think it's not going to turn good. The economic injury we've been doing to ourselves through these wars is slowly destroying us. We've been borrowing money to cover us and borrowing money upon borrowing money. And we've been also, instead of creating goodwill in the world and creating friends, we've been creating enemies, and quite intentionally, because this gives a reason for the growth of the military, industrial, governmental, intelligence complex. So I think it's going to keep going worse and worse and bad until, I think Rick mentioned, until economically everything, people don't want to lend us any more money, and people also don't have respect for us. You got to understand that although the news media is well controlled in this country, and we have a bias that we didn't do anything wrong, there's something called the rest of the world. They don't have that bias. And they're looking at architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth and all sorts of other organizations and scientific papers and scientific studies in all these other countries of the world. And they're saying, dude, the United States is screwing up. And so we're getting a bad rep, and at a point we're not going to get any more help. That's why all sorts of these other countries in the world have been trying to go off the dollar standard as a medium of international exchange for international transactions. We will get a worse and worse rep, and we'll get more and more countries against us. That's where BRIC comes from, and alternate methods of international transaction exchange using other currencies. So I don't see something turning for the good. I'm sorry.
So you think it's going to be? Will there be? See, that was the whole point behind the logo of Freedom's Phoenix. From Lady Liberty's ashes, freedom will phoenix. You know, the rebirth of. Because I know, but you know how you get a rebirth of the phoenix? You come from ashes, okay?
Yeah. Well, let me explain. I think that what you are doing now, what Pat Schwind had done in his breakfast forum that he ran for years and other activists, that's very good because you're establishing people and ideas and concepts that a nation that rebuilds itself can use. Now, that's what happened in Germany. Okay, you had what was called the Schwarze Kapelle, which was the group, it was a big group, more than 500 people who were working to kill Hitler and save Germany. Well, that was one thing that gave the destroyed German nation pride. You see, when they had to come from there, literally, they were in ashes and rubble and rebuild their country. They had some pride. They did some good things. And so those people...
When you got Trump out there going, Hillary's going to have the Supreme Court appointments in Canada. Well, the Second Amendment people take care of that. You know, which is, I get another 24, 72-hour cycle of I got more press and I can tweet some more. And so you think that's kind of, on purpose. But the that concept, you know, is Hillary going to be seen as the early Hitler and you're better off to, get rid of a certain flaw, or you just got to let it run through and be the good guy? You see my point? You know, you got these people that have, in retrospect, you look through history and you go, yeah, they should have taken that guy out. Well, how'd they get there? You know, how it was the people, they begged for it.
Yeah, but please don't suggest that I want to take anybody out, ever. I would like to get to the truth and follow the Ten Commandments, and that's it.
I'm just looking, when you're talking about these different groups that were trying, they're taking out Hitler, in retrospect, they look to be patriots, or they were right, or better than, and you have all these timeline sci-fi, what if you took out them? You look back at it, and you sit there, and you look at America, especially since 9/11, with the Patriot Act and the rendition and detention and all that. I mean, you're going, wow, I've seen this before, historically. And it gets allowed to, as American people, are they different? Because as a junior high kid in the 70s, I'm sitting there, they go over Nazi Germany, I go, why did the people allow this? How did they get, what the hell was going? And then as you get older, you see it happen. It's a path of least resistance. They create a bunch of resistance over here and rewards over here. It's like, you want to know what the future of a society is? You look at what's rewarded, and you look at what's punished.
That's it. Sloth and inactivity and disability, and that's rewarded. You know, you sit on your butt and give me and I'm entitled to, that's rewarded. You're productive, you make a lot of money, you're got resources, you have assets, that's punished. What the hell you think was going to happen? So to change that, here comes the libertarian philosophy, and then we get Bob Barr, and then we get, you know, Weld and Johnson. I mean, how do you feeling about that as a third alternative?
Well, I think that's clearly the better choice of the three, the best choice of the
three. You're still voting?
Yes. I'm for Gary Johnson.
What about you, Mike?
Well, I've been hoping that Trump would do things that I like, but we know, you know, Trump is, the problem with Donald is that he's ignorant on a lot of things. I think he's got a good heart, believe it or not.
Yeah, I think, you know, we had a dinner party last night, and Gary Gannon, a good friend from, lives out in Sun City West, they have to say West, you know, but he was of the opinion, he thinks he's kind of a patriot type that wants to do, you know, for America, make it great again, whatever the heck that means. But I'm just going, he endorsed McCain and Ryan. I get Dr. Frank to explain that.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Talking off air, Rick had to, like, you know, he had to do some client work and excused himself, but I'm glad he stayed. He was only going to stay for the first hour, but we got to spend some more time with Rick. Folks, this has been a you know, a path for a lot of us, and I've the only difference that probably I've had and a lot of these guys that we've worked on various different projects over the decades is that I'm just still here. I mean, you know, just keep doing it. Sometimes, you know, you have more pressure than others, but that's how I keep doing it, is people pay, people contribute, people donate for me to be able to keep doing this stuff, to have the opportunity to help them when these things happen or help others, or we do our, you know, vaccine education summit we're doing September 10th. That's coming together. And at vaccineeducationsummit.com, we just started putting up the website together and all that. Well, Mike and Frank and Rick and others, they, you know, they have lives, but they just can't, they get some traction on certain things. They share some ideas. They maybe gain a little respect with even their close family members and everything. But it's always what all the activists learn. They don't want to hear it at the Thanksgiving table. Just shut up. I don't want to hear, Dr. Frank, I bet they're like, I don't care about Trump. I'm not voting anymore. I don't get, you know. And then Mike is, you know, a lot of issues, you know, conspiratorials. And he did a 3-hour video just a week and a half ago. Just let me share with you. You know, this is what I think about that. Then you're done. You really care? Go watch my thing. Now let's talk about past the stuffing. Well, how do you have and who do you want to have an impact on the most? Well, of course, your family, your kids, your grandkids. And what I found is if you make yourself very clear and about what it, or some basic principle, and then let it go, over a period from 3 to 10 years, just one by one, you have friends and family just approach it. Did you know about? Really? No. Tell me. And you know all about it, but tell me all about it. And then it's like it's their idea, like their discovery. They want to share. And so I got to ask these guys, and I ask you first, Mike, this response, have you had any family, are they, you know, the younger ones, you know, nephews and grandkids or something, are they starting to come, you know, Mike, Papa, you know, Dad, whatever, they come up and they're going, did you know about that? Are they starting to crack? Are they starting to see it? Are you, because you're being that hands-off, just let them come to you thing, are you having any of those experiences?
No and yes. Most people, and even in my own family and my friends, they're so frightened of this. that they don't want to talk about it, and they don't want to hear about it. I have had one one individual who that individual, unfortunately or fortunately, learned a lot about this, and it scared the heck out of him. And so he's, you could say he's with me, but we don't talk about it for reasons that it scares the heck out of him, because he understands the specifics of it. But most people are, they don't know the specifics, and they're just scared out of their mind.
It really is a scared of peer rejection, or being made fun of, or that they're going to die, or they got to change their whole worldview.
They have to change their whole worldview. The people they voted for are criminals. The country they've been cheering on has been murdering people. All sorts of people have been lying to them, and they've been buying it.
Your family has been predominantly... I don't know. Were they Republican? You know, being of a large corporation like that.
No, they're Ernie. They're like any family. There's all sorts of diversity, and you can't say that the family is predominantly this or that.
Well, you were more liberal, left, Democrat kind of thing.
I was more conservative. I still am conservative.
Really?
I'm very conservative, extremely conservative. That's why I'm.
What the hell are you doing being a libertarian then?
No, wait a minute. It's conservative to say it's wrong to lie. It's conservative to say it's wrong to murder people.
Yeah.
You know, it's conservative to say it's wrong to steal. That's what's been going on. First you steal, then people object to your stealing, then you murder them, and then you lie about the murder. That's basically the order of events here. And you do it to people who are hopefully ignorant.
So around you, the people that you associate with, you have parties and family, and you mingle, and you're, you know, whatever, they're Hillary or Trump?
Well, both of them. I purposely don't talk about this sort of stuff around my relatives. It got so that in the church group, people wanted to talk about this, and that's why I made the 3-hour video, because I couldn't talk with them about it without them being insulted or not being able to understand it. So the next time somebody asks me about ISIS or gun control or something relevant, I'll say, I got a 3-hour video on, go look at it. You know, if you actually care about it.
You want to know what I have to say.
But wait a minute, but you probably don't care enough about your government or your country to spend 5 minutes, let alone 3 hours. And that's the truth.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. You know, this is, you know, let's talk to Dr. Frank and get his opinion on this. For someone like Mike Schoen that has been involved and knows, I mean, you know, as an attorney, you know, takes and looks at evidence and what you can prove, and then he'll do the videos. He's been active for a long time. Close friends have been killed, you know, die. Research has really sent him down to, oh, my God, run for Congress here as a libertarian to get and scare people. You know, they're going, whoa, what the hell? He did this cash thing. You just watch this evidence. I will give you $100 an hour just to sit there and watch. I remember that campaign. It got some attention. So I'm going from that, you know, what's Trump offering? What's voting offering? What's this election cycle? The most important election of your lifetime, or the 15th time in my life. You know, that what's he offered? What's he got to look forward to?
Regarding
election. I mean, you know, should he, you know, go out and support Trump, you know, or vote at all, or care, or it's different this time, and what are you going to give him encouragement about?
Well, I mean, as far as with Donald Trump, who knows? I mean, on one hand, Donald Trump, if he's going to break the establishment, which is the only reason I would support him, because of that, I've said that since last year. You know, some people have said if there really is aliens at Area 51, Trump will probably figure it out. You know, if there really is something about JFK,
are you gonna share it with us?
I know. I mean, that's what Bill Clinton said. He said when he got in office, he told his cabinet, and he was serious. Clinton said, when I get in, I want to know two things: who shot JFK, and are there aliens at Area 51? That was Clinton actually said that seriously. And George Stephanopoulos had it in his book. Nevertheless,
what did they say? And we're not going to tell you.
Well, that's another story. So in any case, for Trump, I could see someone like him coming in, being brash, saying, let's just get down to it. After all, he's a New Yorker. He lost lost many people right there, his friends at the World Trade Center. And, you know, he's someone who just goes where his heart and his eyes lead him. And he's an engineer. And that's one of the reasons I was asking earlier today about, you know, the structural engineering part, because Trump's right in the middle there. On one hand, he doesn't trust the establishment. On the other hand, his friends are in that building and he understands how buildings are made. So that's an extremely powerful part that you know, ultimately goes to the second part, which is, you know, I would like it, you know, from what your organization is doing. When I heard Pat, and call out to Pat, who organized a lot of this, by the way, and the work that he does. But as I said, I'm not a truther one way or the other. I have doubts either way. But I would love to hear from the engineering, this new organization, which is like a new spin on trying to, not a spin, but to trying to get people's attention again, that there is a science behind this. But Papa Mechanics has already kind of, and the Nova from there, kind of put the kibosh on it from the science skeptic community. And so that needs to be the answer.
Said who?
I'm just saying. I think when you Google
A&E
this.
A&E has been around a long time.
I'm just telling you that to me, they made the last call. And I have not heard the response from the truth community to that Papa Mechanics argument. And that to me, if you have this organization, I would love to hear.
You haven't looked because they got a crap beat out of
a one-to-one. Well, it would be interesting to have a one-to-one conversation there. The other thing that Mike was talking about, we're off the air, was, I'm just throwing these out because we don't have so much time, you can run with that, is I want to be clear, there's two issues here. The first is, can Americans agree that our government is corrupt and can do things to its people? That has happened. That's historic. That's fact. And I agree with you. Many Americans cannot digest that. That it's possible that they can do it. That's separate than whether this was a government conspiracy. Now, I have no question that Hanky Panky may have done in afterwards and how it was reported and all of that, all kinds of things. But at its core, did it. And that's the difference. It's like with cancer, when I do with patients. Having cancer is different than, is it trying to kill you? They're two separate issues. And the same thing here. I just want to split those apart. So I agree with you, your point. People don't want to digest this and may not listen to you. But at the same time, doesn't mean necessarily that it really happened, as you said, and that's the question.
It didn't happen, as they said.
Right. Well, exactly.
I guarantee that.
Exactly. Well, it's not by the complete narrative, but that's where
I tell you why I do this. I'll explain why I did the molten metal thing. When you're in business and you do a lot of different classes for human resources and, you know, and how you hire and fire and you go through all that, I've been through 15 gazillion seminar and classes of whatever. And I remember the one thing that really hit is when you wanted to terminate somebody and you got all the, you know, labor department and wage and hourly wage and the Department of Human Resource, unemployment, whatever crap that goes on. The thing that I latched onto is you don't give 15 gazillion reasons. You go, yeah, this guy was late. So-and-so was late, and you didn't fire him. And this guy would never cut his hair, and this guy had long hair, and you didn't do him. And this guy, you know, didn't show up for a shift. Well, this guy didn't show up. But this guy stole money out of the till. That's all I need is one thing.
Hmm.
If I bring up all the other stuff, then they muddy, oh, it's just a conspiracy against me, and you just don't like me because all the other people you let get away with, whatever. So I learned from that is when I would terminate someone, which was rare, because I would, you know, it's hiring and the way you follow up and they terminate themselves. I go, look, man, obviously this isn't working out. How you want to do it? I'm going to schedule only a couple hours a week until you get your crap together or whatever. You find another job or something. But what would happen was, is there'd be one thing. It'd be something, I mean, that one thing. And that's all I would say. Well, you didn't like me because I didn't bring that up. Well, he always preferred that. I go, well, what does that have to do with anything? One thing. The one agreed to, stipulated, you did, termination, offense of, boom, that one thing. 9/11 was one thing with me. The molten metal. You know, blah, 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 blah. Where the hell did all this molten metal come from? Whenever I would focus on that one thing, it was, they wanted to go, yeah, well, Popular Mechanics says. Popular Mechanics, that was the biggest scam. You go back and listen to the show that Charles and I did with that guy on his first day of the media propaganda tour. Beat the crap out of him. And it was just, and they, to the point that he canceled all of his other appearances that day. It didn't start off well. They go, yeah, this isn't going to work. So but they got a lesson, you know, and what, it's just, you know,
change the lead, muddy the water, throw out some crap. And when National Geographic did theirs, and it showed this aluminum plane just plowing through all these beams and everything, I'm going, what a bunch of crap. And where are, there's so many questions. Well, I don't even go to that anymore. I want to know, yeah, on these particular things, these issues, like Building 11, I mean 7, they had this entire 9/11 Commission report that didn't even mention it. And when that came out, we're going, what the hell is that?
Well, let's have Mike, those comments I mentioned. What do you think? Because we only have a few minutes left with this
comment. Well, you have a very, very good question. And the answer to that is, I think AE911.org has done a response to the Popular Mechanics. You go on their website, you can find it. You can also look on YouTube for David Chandler, North Tower Exploding. That's the title of it, David Chandler, North Tower Exploding. You can also look at yourself at the building coming down. You'll notice that 8 years ago, 6 years ago, when they're always talking about 9/11, they'd always show that the airplanes impacting the towers. They would never, and I'm going to use that word again, never show the buildings coming down, because if a person looks at it themselves, you can see the buildings exploding. Buildings 1 and 2, you can see them cannonading, cascading, and you can actually see the explosion. You can see the pulverization of the concrete floors. You don't pulverize concrete floors with a building collapsing and have this pyroclastic flow. So if a person's interested in this, go on YouTube. It's all over YouTube. Look at the buildings coming down. Another issue is that they came down at free fall speed. That means they had no resistance when they came down. They were blowing out the floors below. But really, that's why the media kept those films of the buildings coming. The mainstream media kept those films away from average viewers. Go on YouTube and look at the buildings coming down.
So, Mike, real quick, with the time we have, what do you think is your strongest argument, and what do you think is the weakest argument of the argument
on the buildings coming down,
of the whole thing? What's your strongest argument, and what do you think is
the scientific evidence the buildings coming down. There's no question that has never been done before in history. The strongest argument is probably Building 7. Nothing hit it except some debris. It broke like 8 windows and had a couple of fires.
You know,
and the building came down at free fall speed into its own footprint into dust.
You know, you had silver.
I mean, it's crazy. And then the residue, nanothermite in a sol gel medium that hadn't exploded. It was all over the place. And then they had the chemical, the molten droplets that were all over the place that were the residue of exploding thermite and torn up steel.
We went through this with Oklahoma City bombing. There was a guy named Rick Chiro, I think, and he worked for the explosive part investigator for the BATF. Before Waco, he left saying they're corrupt, these guys are bad, I'm out of here. Then it happened, and he testified at the Waco hearings, you know, in Washington and all, and part of different, you know, investigations and lawsuits. And he went through how these guys do that. He understood how they make bombs, how they, and he's doing this for the Oklahoma City bombing thing. And then when 9/11 happened, I remember seeing him at Costco one time. No, Sam's Club. And had our restaurant. I'm there. And he goes, hey, Ernie. And I look at him. I'm going, he is in a full beard, long hair. And I go, Rick? And he goes, yeah, I'm in hiding. Because he was working on some. He eventually went and wrote for Soldier of Fortune magazine. He did a series on stuff. And he was, because he had so much of this information and how they did it and the cover-up and who they were, there was a time he feared for his life. So I'm going, there's a lot of personal experience and people that we've met and things that we've done that you go over. I'm surprised that the people are so surprised. So when you say the evidence, when Frank would say stuff like this, what are you thinking? He obviously hasn't seen some of the stuff or evidence. He hasn't looked at some of the movie. He's just saying this because You know, he read a Popular Mechanics magazine. I mean, why would he say this?
Yeah, well, I respect what Frank says. Listen, he is a citizen. We can't be expert on every subject that's important to our country. We want to have a media that gives us good information on all these complex subjects, including health care and all sorts of other stuff. Well, they're not giving us good information on all sorts of these government crimes because they're controlled. So that's what's called a controlled media. So I have a lot of empathy for Frank and everybody else like him that can't afford to come home from work and then instead of, you know, take care of your kids and your family.
But he can watch Fox News, MSNBC, and CNN. All right, here we go.
This is a Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com, and Ernest Hancock. We have Frank Tamburi. We're going to do Trump Report, and Mike Schoen is going to go ahead and hang out and just, you know, we'll it'll be interesting. We'll do the Trump Report and get his, you know, take on and interjection of a little bit. So let's go ahead. Frank, you know, how's the news, man? I tell you the one thing that came up last night, Gary was over when we were talking about it, is Hillary's health. This is like a thing.
Yep, man. iJoseph out there sent an email about that. There's a video going around, which is sort of a compilation, the best of Hillary's health problems on the trail. And it's just like, you know, how she's, you know, failing over here, and she doesn't show up over here. And then you can see her nurse seems to run behind her, including when she was late coming on stage during that first debate.
Yeah.
Remember when she was in the bathroom, supposedly? All of these things kind of leading up that she might have a problem.
Well, what is that one neurosurgeon that was walking around with a hypodermic, that, you know, injection of epo something? What was that?
With epinephrine?
Yeah. Well, what is epinephrine? Well, I thought it was a stimulant.
It is. Actually, I have to write a prescription for one later on after the show for a patient, speaking of which. It's called EpiPens. And you can just, matter of fact, it's a simple script. And every ambulance, most people have them around for medical offices. It's just a pen that has kind of one dose of epinephrine. And if your body winds up having a histamine response where, imagine having an allergy so bad where, you know, you just can't even breathe. Like a really bad asthma attack. What's happening is your histamines, which basically produced from your cells, create this inflammation response, and then your trachea begins to kind of close up and your mucosal membranes open up and all of this. So to reverse it, you have to give yourself a strong stimulus, almost like as if a tiger was chasing you and you go into a fight or flight response. And so in order to do that, you give yourself this hormone called epinephrine, and epinephrine is, you know, the ultimate stimulus that kind of goes, bam, I got to run. You know, the Sheriff Joe's behind me.
Thing.
Sheriff Joe's behind me. Yeah, that kind of thing. And so you take this pen, and usually a person's coding or they can't breathe, like the asthma attack's so bad, and if you don't open up their airway, they're dead. So you take this pen, and you literally just go, boom, right in your thigh. And this, it's a one-shot needle, and it automatically injects right into your thigh, and it pushes through all of this epinephrine, and immediately,
what is it, gas powered or plunger?
Yeah, it's
powered,
like a plunger. It's like, well, you don't just push it with your finger, you actually pop it and it automatically goes. I think it's
pressure.
It's a single use deal. So therefore, when people are panicking, you don't have to think about anything. All you do is just slam it against their thigh and it takes care of itself.
Through the clothes, everything.
Through the clothes, through the pants. It goes right through the pants, leather pants, whatever. And at this point, though, it opens everything up and it saves countless lives.
Well, how fast is it?
Like 10 seconds, 50 seconds.
Really?
I mean, it's that quick.
So, I mean, man, this is going to be a good movie. when they got Hillary in the back and they're sitting there pounding on her with a EpiPen.
Yeah.
You know, that was one thing that, you know, Gary brought up is that she, as she's walking, did they recognize through facial recognition or somebody knew who it was? It's some neurosurgeon that's walking around her with one of those pens in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm accurate, right?
Well,
I saw the picture.
I haven't seen that picture. I've heard of it. I have not seen that picture, but it sounded like an EpiPen I heard about. But it sounds like that is a neurological. I mean, it could be. I mean, typically it's with histamine responses and allergic responses, but other things can set your body off too. I mean,
so they're gonna do like the FDR thing and lock the leg braces behind the podium of nobody knows he's in a wheelchair.
But you know, the worst part is
stand her up at the podium and they're in a debate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they might just have, like leave it to Bernie's. Was it Weekend at Bernie's? Remember Weekend at Bernie's?
Oh.
The dead guy, and they wheeled him around, so they'll wheel her up. This is before your time. You never saw Weekend at Bernie's, Mike, right?
I saw it twice.
Oh, you saw it twice? Wow, we've got the engineer here. Great doing that. So that's all good. So, but the thing is with her... You know,
that mic's different. You go back from
Yeah. You know, she has, I've said on the show, I believe wholeheartedly, she has antisocial disorder. And those are the sociopaths. They will never, ever back down. It doesn't matter. Politically, she is the equivalent of the Black Knight from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
It's only a flesh wound.
It's my arms off, my legs off. I'm still running for president. No one's going to get me. You know, so... That's the equivalent that she
has. Okay, so Trump, I keep hearing when I'm looking at you know the superficial popular mechanics version of what the hell's going on, and I get the impression that Trump is doing better than they want to say. That there's a lot. He made a big change in Breitbart CEO turning somebody that came over to be his campaign manager now or something or head whatever. And when he said, and it all comes down to this one thing, Obama created ISIS. Well, then he goes on the Hugh Hewitt show or whatever his name is, and national syndicated talk show host, he gets on there and he says, well, you didn't really mean that he actually created it. He goes, no, he created it. Well, you don't really mean it. He goes, no, he created it. You know? Well, of course, that puts him in the news cycle. If somebody's got to go look, you know, and they go, damn, looks like he created it. You might as well blame Bush, too. But, you know, for him saying that and doubling down on it, I'm going, all right, what's Trump's real goal? Well, you know, when he did that Obama-ISIS thing, a lot of us would be, now, it doesn't surprise him. There is evidence of, you know, whatever. But I'm going, him doubling down on that, and then Breitbart bringing them over in the campaign and going even more hardcore, I'm wondering, he's definitely bucking the establishment thing on this. Mm-hmm. So, did Obama create ISIS?
No. No, I think it goes way back. We've talked about it on this show. You know, between the petrodollar is what created ISIS. So get your history straight. And if nothing else, listen to Dr. Ron Paul. He's talked about it a long time ago. So, no.
Well, there's a, I mean, what you say no, and I'm going, okay, what did Trump mean? You know, the State Department, they funded this. Hell, we got, factions in Syria and rebels, the Pentagon fighting the CIA and they're bitching to Congress. Well, hey, their rebels are killing our rebels.
Well, first of all, if you want to be all technical and say that ISIS didn't exist before Obama, yeah, you can make that argument. ISIS was predicted by Osama bin Laden, right, and his kids. So when he died, Osama bin Laden's son was on international BBC or so saying, you guys may not like my father, but he at least had a point of view, and he was principled from his point of view.
Just a few days ago, his son says the House of Saud needs to go down.
And his son said that my own father saw this branching out of ISIS that was an uncontrollable, crazy version of Al-Qaeda, if you can imagine. And he was saying, these guys, these young people, were born and raised in this milieu of 9/11. So we're talking about kids that were 2, 3, 4 years old when 9/11 happened. They have been brought up with nothing but blown up buildings, no schools, and American troops with Hummers going up and down their streets. That is what they know. That's all they know. It's not even a principle principled view of Osama bin Laden, who came here to America, went to our colleges, came from a rich family, learned English, hung out, probably had American girlfriends, you know, saw movies and played, you know, putt-putt golf and did all of that before he went back and decided to bomb us because of the petrodollar. So he at least had an understanding of what the concept was politically and economically and philosophically. These kids, the ISIS, or ISIL, is simply a manifestation that's uncontrollable of just anger and hatred and from what they know. There's a huge difference.
All right, so when we come back, Trump, what's the tactic here? Why would he say that? You know, more news cycles? You know, is he going to hold it in the debate?
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now, there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Independence. Yeah, we're just yakking it. You know, one thing I wanted to get to, I want to, you know, this, it's just another example of the technique that Trump is using to get, you know, it's always, you can see, it's like 24-hour news cycle, 48, 72, and if you can do enough of those, it's wag the dog, all of a sudden you're elected. I mean, it just goes to the end. And, you know, Michael, someone that I respect and I know knows that the deep state is kind of, you know, and he does it. He doesn't, you know, sitting there hammering on everybody year after year after year. He'll pop up. He'll put his name on the ballot. He'll run for all. He'll, you know, have a camera. He'll fund an event. He'll be part of something and kind of will educate people, and he'll make a 3-hour video. If you want to know what I think about everything, there it is. Go watch the video. Peace out. Pass the stuffing. And I'm going, okay. Now we're here talking with Dr. Frank that's drinking, you know, from the Dr. Frank Trump Kool-Aid mug. And, you know, listeners made for him early on, you know. But when you see Mike Schoen from Paradise Valley here, the Schoen U-Haul family name and such, and a prominent, respected individual in the community, when you see Trump get up there and say, you know, Obama created ISIS. Did you really mean that? Yep, he did it. And there's some evidence. You know, you can make an argument for that, or at least he wanted to get the discussion going. What do you think was behind that? How did the media react? What is, you know, the message here in this game of election POTUS 2016?
Well, you know, I'm not an expert on Donald Trump. He's a negotiator. He takes extreme positions. He is a showman. He's a good actor. He's a pretty good a communicator. So I think he's trying to communicate a basic truth. I would agree more or less with Dr. Frank about a basic truth, but I know a lot more about the details of that basic truth.
And which are?
Well, the basic truth is that we've been intentionally ticking off and creating enemies. We were very grateful. Our military-industrial governmental complex was overjoyed to find a worthy enemy in so-called Muslim extremists. And we started this in 1979 with Brzezinski as Secretary of State, arming them with serviced air missiles so they could draw the Soviets into Afghanistan and break their legs. Then we armed both Iran and Iraq. We did various things for them in the 80s. And then about 84, John Stockwell came out with his book, which in modern times is the first very intelligent articulate iteration of the fact that the name of his book was In Search of Enemies. He was a CIA officer, a CIA a chairperson of an NSA subcommittee. He was a CIA station chief. He was twice in combat as a Army Ranger. And he said, he articulated that our government is in search of enemies. We want to find them and develop them so we have an opponent that gives us a reason to grow the military-industrial governmental complex.
Oh,
so,
we're getting back into Cold War with
Russia.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Some money.
Well, no, that was a big problem that in 1989, the Soviet Union collapsed. We had no more boogeyman. That we did not have a monster to justify.
The monster's re-arising!
We're creating that, notwithstanding the fact that Putin doesn't want it to happen. But let me finish. So then we go in after the Russians collapse there, the Soviet Union in 1989, so then we run around doing whatever we can to antagonize and murder, and I'm saying that word murder, hundreds of thousands of people in the Middle East who are Muslim, okay? We've done a great job about it. Now, you can say, give all the different names we've given to them. We've been killing people for a long time. The best one we did, which was agreed by our own Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, she admitted it, and the UN did a study that established it, that we killed 500,000 Iraqi children 5 years and under through our 1990 through 2003 embargo and destruction of their water infrastructure. And I've seen a Air Force document said we did it to gain bargaining power. So we're happy when ISIS or whoever they are, they put some poor son of a buck in a cage and they throw gas at him and light him up. You can bet that the people in Washington and the military, industrial, governmental, intelligence complex are going out for coffee and celebrating because it justifies their sick business.
You know, when that happened, his initials are Mark Victor, and he's, you know, a good, you know, libertarian, anarchist, criminal defense attorney, and a good friend of mine, everybody, he's a Marine. And when that happened, we just go kick ass. And I go, see that little Marine indoctrination thing's coming up. You know, I'm telling you, man, this is just manufactured crap. And even if it was real, you know, it's just, it served the industrial complex's purposes of amping it up. You know, whether it was real or not is not even the point.
Well, I presume it's real, and of course it's atrocious and it's atrocity, but it's also, it's wrong to, to be arming Iran, fighting Iraq, or arming Iraq at the same time to fight Iran, et cetera, and do all these dirty tricks we did. It's wrong to knock down the World Trade Center buildings, blame it on somebody that...
We had a lot of sympathy for us when that happened. Even the people in Iran were marching in the streets for peace for U.S., what we've done for so long, so badly, when things get bad for us, and it will economically, when the dollar gets more and more abandoned, there's not going to be a lot of people giving a crap about the United States, maybe the American people, but our government, we're done. And that's when we get, you know, back to Dr. Frank, this Make America Great Again theme, you know, of this is playing. How is he really doing? I don't trust the polls. I don't believe a damn thing these guys are saying about anything. And all of a sudden, we've had Roger Stone on a couple of times. It's time, Donna, try and get Roger Stone to come on again. And Roger Stone has been on the front page, you know, saying, we got to protect ourselves against election fraud. You know, this is going to be a thing. I mean, so has that got any legs, Dr. Frank?
Does what?
You know, the idea that there's election fraud and that, you know, Trump is hiring people to, you know, patrol the election, you know, get involved and be accurate of its, you know, already a done
absolutely.
Deal Hillary.
Absolutely. I said this last year when I said when he would be running, unlike, you know, Ron Paul. And I don't mean, and again, nothing personal with him because he just came out of nowhere and didn't expect to be as far as he did and didn't have the infrastructure and didn't have the money and didn't have the legal sources. And, you know, our movement did its best with discovering Twitter before the Republicans did so we could organize and rally and deal with the state conventions and all of that. But I knew that with Donald Trump, and he said last year when he didn't sign the pledge, he said, and his advocate said this, this too on the air, and we played it here, that one of the reasons was he saw how the Republican establishment treated Dr. Ron Paul during that convention, I mean, during that campaign. And he said, if you treat me and my campaign the way you treat Dr. Paul, then, of course, I'll bolt. And that's what that was about. People, that they always downplayed it. So, you know, he's learned his lesson. He has attorneys, and I knew and know that he will, you know, he will have his people there, maybe with, who knows, the crowbars or whatever, but to make sure that they do not steal it from him as easily as we think that they can.
All right, but we got to find out the McCain endorsement? McCain endorsement? All right, help me with this, man. What was the reasoning for that? Oh, yes, and Ryan.
Yes, ask me later. We talked about it on the phone last time, but you're arguing with me. We can talk about it when we come back.
All right. I just want to know what the spin is.
Because, since Trump did, of course, I now love John McCain because, you know, I just follow Trump. Whatever Trump says, yeah. John's my man. He's my buddy. Hey, John, how you doing?
Yeah, my friend. Everybody's his friend.
Hi, my friend.
My friend Ernie. Let me tell you all about it.
Do you ever call you my friend Ernie? He called me his friend when I when 4409 was there, and
I don't think so.
And he filmed him, and I asked him that question. He got angry at me.
You know, I've been in because I ran against him in 04. We've been in the same room, you know, in the editorial board of talking about blah, 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 blah. And it was, I'm kind of like, you know, with Mike on this, I don't like being in the same room with these guys. I don't want to talk controversy. I didn't hammer on him. The Arizona Republic tried to get controversy. Yeah, well, Ernie, you know, there's like 30 people there and they got the big board and they go, Ernie, well, what do you think of John McCain? You know, wanting to get something. I'm going, are you kidding? John, you the man. You the freaking man. We're at war with blah, blah, blah. The economy's doing blah, 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 blah. And you don't have to do anything. You never show up for anything. You're the freaking man. I go, but you? How do you think he gets away with this? It's you. The media, you are the problem. You're the ones that do that. You're the ones that allow that. I'm supposed to blame him? You know? I blame you. Well, the people that got the most out of that were the Washington correspondents and the photographers. They were the ones that came up and they go, yeah, man, right? They wanted to make a point that I knew that they were like, thank God, you know, somebody realizes what the real problem is. We're not allowed to report. We're not allowed to say it's all. And here in Arizona, it was a statewide media with Charles's show, with the Air America station that they bought out from under, you know, the progressive, whatever libertarian we had shows on there. They do, you know, everything was in preparation for McCain run for president in 08. And it was, and I think he did 04 too. You know, didn't he run for president? He was kind of against him there in 04 for a while too, I think, against Bush, I think. But certainly the 08 yeah. campaign. And I am just, I don't see the machine or these guys as the problem. I don't want to change it. I don't want to fix it. I got better things to do. What I can do is promote their obsolescence. You know, you use your cryptocurrency. You use decentralized power generation. You grow some of your own food. You do, you know, you take care of your own health. You eat right of the blah, blah, blah. I mean, all these things to where you withdraw power from they, them, those that won't leave me alone. That is a much more peaceful, you don't make, like Mike says, enemies. You know, you're having a greater impact. And I'm wondering what human, like Reagan was all about inspiration. It's morning in America and all that kind of crap. And I'm wondering what Trump is doing. Make America great again. What the hell does that mean? Is he a Klingon? We're going to empire kick ass of whatever? Well, he'll kind of pull back on that a little bit. He's not, you know, saying, I don't know. I'm trying to, you know, what is it he's supporting? You know, what is he for? And that was the argument that Dr. Frank and I had. Yeah, well, nobody's asking Hillary. I don't care about Hillary. I want to know what he's for or doing. And then
that wasn't my point, and we don't want to get into that again.
All right. You're falling for the same, you know, Fox News bullet point of saying whatever Hannity said thing.
Yeah, right.
You know,
all right.
We'll get into it. Here we go.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Change, 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 change
You know, there's a chain of fools out there. And I'm wondering, who is the chain of fools? I mean, is it us? Is it the politicians? Is it the media? You know, it's I'm so help me out. What I want to hopefully I can get a simple answer from a simple question. What is it that, you know, Trump is for? I mean, what is he trying? Is he inspiring? Is he outing? Is he representing? I'm not sure what he's doing that he's counting on to be president.
He's counting on the
endorsement of McCain.
The distrust and the anger of the American people to want to somehow have a true change, irregardless of what it might be. And what he's selling is, I don't know if the word personality would be right. Let's just say his integrity. And I know that sounds like a strange word for people, even if you disagree. But it doesn't matter really what he's saying. It's about knowing that when he says something, he is committed to it, that he believes what he believes, and he's not owned by anybody. And when someone is so angered and basically appalled from and despised, like the media hates him. And I keep wanting, you know, next time, maybe second or so, we'll talk about, I want to do a little segment each time about how the media has like 50 anti-Trump, you know, stories every hour on Google, and they'll have like one little, you know, puff piece on Clinton consistently. I've never seen the media hit ever as they are this desperation they have to stop him. But when the media hates him that much and they're showing their cards, and when the Democrats hate him as much as they do, and you're seeing how they just protect Hillary and play the media against him, and then even when the Republicans are against him, you know, as much as now people like my mother, happy birthday by the way, Mom,
and
others who sit there and say, you know, I keep hearing I'm scared now. I'm really scared that, you know, Trump might really be this bad dictator and this and that and that. But, you know, when everybody hates him, and that's the reason now people are telling me that they don't know if he should be president, they're scared. That's the damn reason to put him in. That's the reason. Because when you have the establishment on both sides, both hating this guy, and it's the establishment we're all tired of, I don't understand how that's not the commercial for what we're asking and what people want. So I look at him as like the kind of like the bulldozer. And this is a bad analogy, but sort of like, you know, when you have a snowstorm and of course, we don't have many here in Arizona. But when back east, whenever it's full of snow and you can't put your car out there, you have to wait for the first, the snow plow to come through. And that plow comes through and gets just enough snow out of the way so your car can start getting itself out with the shovel, put the chains on, and then move.
Line up behind.
Yeah, that's the thing. To me, we're snowed in with so much BS from both parties and the lies from this whole show represents all the lies, like just countless. But to me, Trump is the snowplow. He's the plow. It's like it's not a pretty job, but he just goes through and just gets this crap out of the way. And he's not perfect. The roads won't be perfect, but he'll plow it through and then hopefully open things up to have better candidates later. Maybe a Gary Johnson. Maybe another Ron Paul in the future. Maybe Ralph Nader type of people. They'll have a chance when the establishment is broken. That, to me, is what Trump represents.
You know, let me ask you, you know, from your perspective, Mike, you know, is that what Trump is? He's a snowplow? You think he's legitimate? Whatever you agree or disagree on, whatever, is he genuine?
I agree with Dr. Frank. I think his primary asset is integrity. I'd call it honesty. People know, they know in their hearts that we've been being lied to.
Blood, trauma, honesty.
Yeah, and they know that Trump has a lot of imperfections, but he's an honest guy. He's got imperfections, okay? Now, it's a pretty awful situation to be given the alternative, vote for Hillary or Trump. You know, I kind of wish John Kasich was in there. I thought he was pretty well going, but I...
Kasich? Yeah, Mr. Magoo?
Kasich, yeah.
Mr. Oh, my gosh. We have a Magoo fan.
Whatever.
Sorry. That's okay.
Whatever. I'm not an expert on these two people. I'm just really a citizen like any other looking at this.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that Hillary is a part of the military-industrial intelligence complex. She loves the power. She's going to accumulate more and more power. That's the way it is. Sorry.
Is Hillary, she her own machine, or is she represent one? Because the Bush machine was definitely clear. The freaking machine goes back to we're going to kick ass. And it seems like the Clinton and the left machine that they represent merged with them or was always part of them and kind of, you know, MENA, Arkansas back in the banking days of the laundering of whatever the hell. And she represents what?
Well, she represents survival for herself as a starter. You have to understand that when you're in politics at that level, you've got to do the bidding of the powerful forces. The forces can shoot you in the right temple and blow out the back of your head like they did to John Kennedy. They can take you out like they did to Richard Nixon with the number two guy in the FBI who ran COINTELPRO, who set up with another Navy intelligence guy who was Bob Woodward to take Nixon out because he wasn't part of the deal. He was going peacenik on him, or they could, like they did to Carter in the October surprise, he took him out. So you gotta do what they ask you to do, and I think that's part of what Obama did. He said, dude, yeah, we can do all sorts of bad stuff around the world, just don't hurt me. And so Hillary's a part of that. She knows whose tail she has to kiss, and she's done it, and she's going to do it. And so I don't know. I don't think there's any, you know, I think the Bush family was very strong and did a lot of stuff. But I think I don't see any new Bush family in there. You just got these powerful economic interests that control the El Presidente.
And Trump represents what?
Oh, they can't control him. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. They can't control Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump is small fry, even if he's got $10 billion or whatever. That's small fry money. That's chump change when you talk about these gigantic industries that want to control you and are going to control you. They're going to control you. They'll take you out one way or the other.
And that's the thing. That's why you want to get people have to just start seeing this media blitz. I mean, I know if a lot of you don't listen to the mainstream media, which I don't blame you because you don't trust it. But that's the point, to see this. And I mentioned this to my family member recently. You know, people keep spitting this, that Trump is this billionaire and he's this evil person because he has the money. He is the small fry. The money that it's spent on him probably is his net worth almost every day or every week in the free media blitz of nonstop ad after ad and the newswire and the television shows and everything being spun. I mean, I was mentioning the other day to someone. I said, if you have imagine two pictures of both candidates in the food store, and they're buying some ketchup, you know, and Hillary Clinton's, you know, buying some Heinz ketchup, and there's a picture of her picking it. You know, the story would be spun that Hillary supports ketchup companies and the tomato growers, right? That's how it would be spun. And if Trump sat there, same picture, and he's picking a bottle of Heinz off the counter, they would spin it and they'd question. They'd say, is Donald Trump getting kickbacks from the Heinz Foundation? Just ask a question. And the same photograph spun the same way. And if you see the wording of these questions, of these articles that my family and people, they say, but Frank, you know, I heard this, I heard that. I heard that 30, you know, generals of the United States Army are against Trump. I'm like, yeah, 30 out of how many generals, A, and are those generals, you know, part of Halliburton, number two, or B, C, how many of the troops support Donald Trump? The majority of the troops like Trump because he's trying to pull our guys out. He's trying to pull our troops out.
Popular Mechanics did an article. You're susceptible just like everybody else.
No. I'm not susceptible. I just asked a question, Ernie. I'm not picking. You're assuming I'm picking a side. I simply asked a question. So, I mean, that's different. I'm talking about this is how the media will spin the same thing, candidate to candidate.
All right. Media. Be our focus when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Donald Trump have very different views on just about everything. It's a polarizing election, and they have almost no common ground. But I always wonder whether people are really paying attention to the issues or not. So, for the most part, I think it doesn't matter what a candidate says. It matters to people which candidate says it. So, to put this to the test, we asked some diehard members of Team Hillary if they agreed with some things Hillary said. But the quotes, the things... we asked about were not from Hillary. They were actually quotes from Donald Trump. But will these Democrats agree with Hillary / Donald Trump? Well, let's find out.
What did you think when Hillary Clinton said, "I see improved relations with Russia from a position of strength only if possible"?
I agree with Hillary.
Hillary Clinton said, "Immigration is a privilege and we should not let anyone into this country who doesn't support our communities, all of our communities."
Well, I'd virtually have to agree with that.
Hillary said, "In order to achieve the American dream, let people keep more money in their pockets and increase after-tax wages."
Yes, okay. It's in order, that's a great idea, so that we can start to move everybody up and start moving people out of the level of poverty.
And obviously runs fairly severe contrast to what Donald Trump is proposing.
Absolutely. Many of her comments run severe contrast to Donald Trump.
What do you think of this quote from Hillary? "There's nothing I love more than women, but they're really a lot different than portrayed. They're far worse than men, far more aggressive, and boy, can they be smart."
You know, I agree. I've worked for 38 years in the hospital with women, and that's a very accurate.
And you think that's obviously a sharp contrast to her opponent?
Absolutely.
Hillary Clinton said, "I like the concept of local education. I want to get rid of Common Core. I think Common Core is a disaster."
Well, I'm an educator. I'm a school teacher. I think Common Core is a disaster, too.
And what do you think of this Hillary quote? "I have never seen a thin person drinking Diet Coke."
Never seen a thin person drinking Diet Coke. Well, let me tell you something. Diet Coke does not make you thin.
So you would say, get rid of Common Core, keep the Diet Coke.
Keep the Diet Coke.
What do you think of this Hillary Clinton quote? "I am opposed to gay marriage."
Well, I've heard that a lot from a lot of politicians. It's all about the timing, though, isn't it? No, hey, she's for us now. Yay! I'll take that as a win.
What do you think of this quote from Hillary Clinton? "While Bette Midler is an extremely unattractive woman, I refuse to say that because I always insist on being politically correct."
I am sure that she never said that.
You're right. Please don't say me.
I can't make any guarantees. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, that was that Barbara Boxer? The last
one? No, it was Diane Feinstein.
Or Feinstein, yeah, one of the Boxer Feinstein.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she goes, "I'm sure."
She at least knew that one. Yeah, she was getting set up.
Yeah, she knew you.
But just for you guys to know, that was Jimmy Kimmel. They just did it a couple days ago. And to be fair, you could probably flip that around. And there's another clip we can run in the after show. It's about 15 minutes. Conan O'Brien did one. That one is hysterical. We have to watch that as the video. But what you just heard, guys, those people that they were interviewed were not just Democrats from the mall. Those were all, of course you couldn't see the video, those were Democrats at the DNC. In other words, these were the convention that they just had. These were the main delegates. The people who run the Democrat Party are so clueless about what their own candidate stands for, because nobody really knows what she stands for, that they fell right into that trap at the DNC.
Trump supporters, the RNC, they any different? I mean, do they know what he stands? This is our thing, man.
Absolutely. And which is why I said I have another one, which is 15 minutes on the other side, which is pretty fascinating and scary, because on the other side,
at the end of the show,
at the end of the show, and then the archive, because they're asking questions. And what's really scary are what some of these Trump supporters are willing to put up with. And a little scary, you can see how fascism can occur quickly. And that's what the point of the other clip will be. Whether you like or not, or with Trump, it does play into some of the fears people have of some of their supporters.
You know, from on the sidelines and being libertarian and kind of paying attention, knowing deep state kind of stuff, Mike, you know, Hillary Clinton presidency scare the crap out of you. And a Trump presidency is like, not as scary? Are you supportive of it? Are you looking for the establishment to get shaken up? I mean, what do you think?
Well, it's a pretty hard choice because historically the failure of a democracy, the disgraceful failure of a democracy in the eyes of the citizens often does lead to a something like a dictatorship. That was what happened in the Weimar Republic. And so I don't really know. I can't predict the future. I'm a guy who looks to the past. I'd hope that Trump was first of all, I don't think he's going to get elected. But if he should get elected, I think I'd hope that he is a good enough guy that he you know, and there's enough checks and balances on him that something good happens. But I don't know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen if Hillary gets elected. That's pretty easy.
Why do you think he'll be elected?
Because of the propaganda machine, the mainstream media, the propaganda machine, and that, you know, Donald is just not a guy who fits in with his own cheesy, with it. He's not just a guy. He's too, I guess, he's too wild and too much of a controlled by him. He's not controlled by people.
He's not in control. He's out of control.
Yeah, well, he doesn't know. He doesn't fit in with his advertising execs propaganda bullshit machine. Pardon my language. And I don't even think he has one. He doesn't want to have one. He's just out there saying what he thinks. He's arrogant enough to try and say what he thinks. He's not like the mirror image of Hillary on the other side. Hillary's just, you know, taking opinion polls and saying, okay, they want me to say this.
But they're taking the polls from the way they keep doing it, the old way. It's like they're still setting in their views of how politics works. They have, both sides have given up on the silent majority, the populist nationalist view, whether that's scary to some, whether maybe it's patriotic, however you see it. And that area has been discounted as from both parties. It's sort of like Kansas, you know, they call it flyover country. It's just kind of discarded by the rest of the country, but those are the votes that matter. And interestingly, I think, and this is for another time, but what are the chances that I predicted last time? Well, I mean, I don't go to the whole the bet thing again that the conceded, but the fact that I'm from Pennsylvania, and one of my 44, I have a list, not for today, 44 reasons that Donald Trump will win. And I said this back in January when I did this whole list. I had one of the shows here. And one of the main ones was that his main supporters were the silent majority. They were the the blue-collar workers, like steel guys. I know because I come from the steel world, from back east, like my father, my family, and Donald Trump, and that world of Allentown, Pennsylvania. You know, that song Allentown by Billy Joel about the steel mill. You hear it in the beginning of the song, you know, at the steel mill. That's Pennsylvania. And I predicted that the states that would be changing this time would be Pennsylvania, Jersey, Florida. These states that, well, Florida often is Republican, but Trump has Florida because he has Mar-a-Lago there. He also has New York. He's Mr. New York. Plus, Howard Stern backs him. And, you know, it might be funny. I'm not being funny, but he has a big influence with the Trump world. And a lot of African-Americans love Howard Stern, and they get him. They get that Trump bravado. They don't look at him as this racist that other people want to spin him. Then you have Pennsylvania, which all these blue-collar guys who are unions and steel guys who are going for Bernie, and they love themselves some Trump. Trust me. And Pennsylvania will go, like, am I psychic or what? But now the media has finally agreed that Pennsylvania is going to be literally the keystone state for those electorals. And I put that was number 5 in my list back in January, and that's what's happening right now. And my poor mother in Pennsylvania, who cannot handle any kind of distress and doesn't like all this politics, unfortunately, she and the rest of Pennsylvania will be inundated and swamped with all of these ads between Hillary and Trump. I can't imagine the commercials they'll run there.
I haven't seen...
That's the state.
So what's the... Oh, by the way, there has been email. They wanted to know if I paid Frank his dollar yet. There you go.
Wait, is this... No, wait, it's not done yet.
I thought it was the nominee. Oh,
it is.
Keith?
No. Well, it was both. It was the nomination, and then when he wins. So maybe I'll get two. So you hold on to it, because I want a ceremony. I want Tarzan here.
Hey, by the way. Well, mine was if he won, right? And then his was if you got the nomination.
My was... It was two parts. The first was that I predicted, this is, by the way, last July, that Trump would make it to the nomination of the Republican convention. I didn't say he'd win, because I knew how corrupt the system was. But then, if he did win the nomination, he would win the presidency. Hey, before we go, I'm gonna be a bully and take this mic in the last few moments. I just have something. I want to make a call out, whether you guys like him or not. Someone passed away the other day and meant a lot to me and my development. That was Mr. John McLaughlin of the McLaughlin Group.
Oh, yeah.
He just passed away, and I just want to give kudos. He started his show in 1982, and two days before he died, he missed his first ever show since 1982. Never missed one week since 82. And to be in a show that talked politics where you never knew his position, whether it was liberal, conservative, in today's world, to moderate, that is the old golden age of journalism that I really do miss.
You know, I like the McLaughlin Group, just to yell at him. Drink whiskey shots whenever
bye,
they
say. Bye, bye. Bye,
bye. Bye, bye. But more Trump Report, go to the archive. Now, Mike, I'm interested in your perspective. What do you think is going on inside the machine, the political machine here in Arizona? Are they? It's amazing to see that how much a lot of these guys have lockstep behind Hillary, and this Trump phenom has really taken off. It started here, really. I mean, it started with a big thing downtown. You went to the, it was the build the wall thing, Arpaio, and some of the politicians jumped on with him, and then we had the primary race between John McCain and Kelly Ward. Kelly Ward was on Ron Paul's show. Mm-hmm. They, a lot of the Liberty guys, oh, yeah, Kelly Ward. I've had her on a couple of times, spent time with her and her mom and talked. And she's just another politician, in my opinion. But the Trump doing this McCain thing, what was behind that?
Ernie, thanks for asking, but I don't know the answer. And I'd defer to Dr. Frank for that or someone else, because I ignore a lot of the political maneuvering, and I look into the most of the stuff I do. I look into the past to try and figure out what the past was, so maybe I could. So, Frank, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, to me,
McCain and Ryan? What was the deal on that negotiation art of the deal of what?
Well, certainly got something out of it. I mean,
what?
He's being forced to some degree to compromise to unify some of the establishment. He's being forced into that, and I don't blame him in a way. I think that what's frustrating, without lamenting over my campaign of what happened, was that some of you were not aware, but when I was getting ready to focus and switch from a libertarian to kind of a combination libertarian Tea Party movement in July, I wanted to go to the convention and basically stand for Trump, or at least the anti-establishment movement, as the libertarian candidate who was at the Republican convention, because John McCain, who's the Republican nominee for the Senate again or coming up, refused to go to the Republican convention. So I was trying to spin that around and basically look for Trump's endorsement. After all, we're here on the Trump Report. Not that I endorse every one of his views, but again, it's the establishment. And in this state, we're trying to stop John McCain. I want to stop John McCain. Most everyone here wants to, and so did Donald Trump. What's a shame is that Kelly Ward, who's the so-called Tea Party representative, who's the main challenge for McCain, she's been getting pummeled by John McCain. For those of you who do watch Fox, unfortunately, you will see every commercial break, you'll see one to two commercials of these not so forgiving photographs of Kelly Ward and calling her weak on terrorism and all this sort of thing, blasting her, bashing her for months now. He's trying to get her out of the way now. And what's frustrating is that I do know, for reasons I won't go into details, that she does have a few million dollars that she probably could be using from some investors. I don't know what she's waiting on, probably waiting towards the end of the primary before her debate to try to make her case. But she's just getting pummeled right off the gate.
Coming?
I don't know.
Is there
Yeah. Well. So.
See,
so
this is the thing. I'm going. Man,
the thing is, here's the point. No. He's astounding with that. But Kelly Ward never. No, what I don't understand. And I've talked to some of her peoples about it a little bit. And why would she not go after and try and get Donald Trump's endorsement? I mean, I was trying to do that if I had the opportunity. And I was positioning myself with Roger Stone and others to do that. She hasn't, and she's completely blown that opportunity. And there's no wonder. She's a nothing. She's a nobody at this point. So therefore, without Trump knowing who is here to take on McCain, because I got knocked out and she's not doing anything with her position. So at that point, you've got McCain, who is the ultimate establishment candidate, and then Paul Ryan. And I have to say, he had to almost endorse Paul Ryan being the Speaker of the House. And Paul Ryan, bit his lip and so-called endorsed, or at least endorsed his nomination. So that was I thought it was a bad move of him, of Trump, to not endorse Paul Ryan. I think when he turned around and switched gears, that really began this new slide that Trump has had for the last month or 3 weeks, was when he did not endorse Paul Ryan. And then the backlash, that was, even for me, I thought, what are you doing?
Why? What do you mean? Why would he have to endorse Paul, who gives a crap about
well, because
that
Paul
was one
Ryan,
of the reasons why
because,
people like Trump is screw them.
No, no,
Ryan
but
is
Trump,
part of the
but
problem.
Trump, the thing is, Trump is still running this as the primary. And once he won the nomination, despite all of that work and all of that infighting, you know, Paul Ryan and Ryan Priebus, you know, they, you know, it was not a good position they were in. I mean, they were in the firing lines of both sides, what the people were saying and what the establishment was saying, and they're right in the middle. And despite politics, I thought they did a good job trying to negotiate this. And at the end, Trump got the nomination. He won. And he did it with Reince Priebus backing him publicly and the Speaker of the House publicly. And now John McCain didn't. Well, screw him. But the other guys did. And that was a coup. That was a win. Donald Trump beat 16 candidates, unprecedented
no,
in history.
But I'm
he
still
did all of this.
Trying to see the so benefit of McCain. What does
okay,
McCain bring
I'm talking
this?
About the Speaker of the House first. So therefore, to beat all those people, have this unique campaign, and then those two went back and forth about the contract and whether they'd endorse and had signed the pledge, and this entire chess game. And Trump won. He won, and he got the nomination. Bam. And he did it with their support, you know, at least publicly. So then you move on. You switch now, and now you have this coalition behind, whether they know whether they're biting their lip or not, just like I've bitten my lip every other election with Mitt Romney and Bob Dole and every one of these rhinos. I've done it. Why don't they do it? So now Trump has them. He has this coalition, and right out of the gate, right? Then he turns around and says, I'm not going to endorse, you know, whatever he got, you know, a little pissing contest, and I'm not going to endorse now the Speaker of the House. That actually seemed like he went back on his word, and I think he paid a lesson for that. So ultimately, he was screamed at by people like Newt Gingrich, and even his top supporters began in saying, Trump, yo, you know, that was a bad move. And by doing so, and I don't know for sure, but it was interesting that when he endorsed Paul Ryan, it's almost like he had to pay with interest. And that was endorsement of John McCain. That's what I think.
McCain, you know, because he's from Arizona. I mean, it's nothing about Arizona. He represents God knows what.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mike, when you're thinking of McCain and that machine, what is that machine? What does it represent? He's not like, you know, truth, justice, American way. I mean, what is he?
The war.
Well, you know, again, Ernie, I don't know enough about McCain. I read one book on him years ago, but I don't know enough to answer a question like that publicly and give people really information I'm confident is correct. So I can't answer it. I know that his dad was the guy who reputedly was the guy who called back the scramble
on
the
USS Liberty.
Yeah. But so I'm not competent. I'll tell you one thing. Anybody who gets shot down and breaks his arm, and you know when he's get ejected and all that stuff, you know, I got some empathy for John McCain. I did read some of that history of what he did, and so. But I don't know anything about McCain presently, and I'll defer.
I'll tell you one thing from my perspective here in Arizona. Right before 9/11, there was a big serious recall effort. And it was, man, they were ready, and they had the signatures, and we're going, and people, God, we hate McCain! 9/11, you know, you don't change horses midstream kind of crap. And if you've been in the same room with him or seen him get mad, man, he is freaking uncontrolled. Somebody's got to put a leash on that guy. And he never got mad at me because I never gave him an excuse, but it was at a gun show one time. Somebody got in his face. Man, if he had a gun, I mean, you know, and my experience with him has not been pleasurable. He's not a personable guy, and he does come off as being really ooh. And I don't know how else to put it other than, you know, his votes and his policies and the corruption. And I mean, you can go down the list of all the reasons, you know, not McCain. But the main thing is he represents something. He represents the old La Machine. And it was everything that he represented, which I thought Trump, you know, was against. For him to capitulate on this, to get what? I mean, something. I'm wondering something. How is Trump's VP pick? You know, what's his story? How is he
doing on this thing. If I got him to worry about if Trump gets in and they, you know, he's the next guy like a Reagan-Bush deal, you know, I mean, what's his story?
No, Pence seems fine. I mean, he's basically doing the apology tour. They're doing the opposite. Normally, the president acts diplomatic and tries to unify the country. And then the vice president, you send as your attack dog. So normally you'd have like Mitt Romney as the presidential candidate. And then let's say he picks someone like Chris Christie to be VP as an example. And that strategy is to go around, because think about it, only the diehards, the base shows up to the VP when they come around. So like when Trump shows up, everyone shows up. When Pence shows up, you don't get nearly as many people, and it's kind of the diehards. So you send someone like Chris Christie to rile up the base because the TV cameras usually aren't around for the VP speeches. So that's the attack. In this case, it's the flip side. That's what's so funny. Trump is the guy that's attacking everyone. He's dividing the country, if you argue that way. And Pence is the one going, All right. Well, hey, guys, I am sane, and he didn't really mean what he said. And let me explain what he said. He's like the apology tour. So
you know,
it's a little backwards.
When he did the shakeup, and they were saying, you need to be more diplomatic. You need to be kinder, gentler. Screw you. I'm doubling down. And a Breitbart guy comes over and is head of the whatever. When I see that, I'm like, cool. You know, good. The more radical Trump can be, the better, as far as I'm concerned. And when he starts capitulating, I'm just going, just another politician playing the game of, you know, and I just, so I don't get invested in these things because it's politics is filled with disappointment. It's just, I'm so disappointed. And with the LP, the Libertarian Party ticket, they're co-candidates. They're running out. It's really, you know, Johnson has got the ballot status or came in first or whatever. But this Bill Weld thing, he was a Council of Foreign Relations drop-in Koch brother of where, and no matter what they bring up, Davi and I just, you know, he's been hanging out and we watch some videos every now and then because there's been getting a lot of coverage of them on CNN, whatever. It seems that the media is really pushing the Libertarian ticket a lot more than normally they would get before because they believe it will pull more from Trump.
Absolutely, and that's kind of what I want to go. I want to go through the list of in a moment about the media spin again. I think that's an important point. But before we go off tangential, you asked about Senator McCain. I want to read to you about very. It's just a section here. It's very quick about what committees he's been on, so you want to understand what he's been doing and what his angle is. Okay, so he sits on the following committees.
Kick-ass committee.
Chairman, and well, it's all about the words. It's all about what your position is, Mike. About, you know, if you're wanting to know why the government might have been, let's say, interested in what really happened with 9/11. I mean, all of us about the wars, and you wonder know why John McCain is so powerful and what his angle. So he sits on the following committees. He's chairman the Senate Committee on Armed Services. He's the ex officio of Subcommittee on Airland. He's the ex officer Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, which is kind of an oxymoron, Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, and, you know, to be fair, the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs, since he's here from Arizona. But all of those others are all about control of the government on its people, Homeland Security, and control around the world with our armed forces. That's what it is. That's it. And he is, I mean, when you realize that he's the number one establishment person in the country, if you think about it, the only one that comes close to him is Hillary Clinton. No one has been in politics as long and as high up and leading their party is John McCain. Mitt Romney, you might argue, he ran for president twice, but he's out of politics. Endorse who?
So Trump endorsed him. That's why, because he's on these committees. You had asked
why people, you know, what John McCain's angle might be as far as what he's doing in his angle.
No, I'm wondering what the benefit to Trump is. I mean, is that it? Because he's a powerful, deep state, kind of screwed up, I need him on my side, not against me, your friend's enemy's closer thing or something? I mean,
Yeah, it is. Well, the thing is, right now, there is a fight, and I know you don't know because you don't listen to the shows like Glenn Beck and a lot of them, where the people who were never Trump, like just last night on Glenn Beck, for instance, and yeah, sometimes when I'm stuck at the office late working on my my patient reports, I'll put on Glenn Beck a little bit because he happens to be on the show at our local station. I cringe, but you know, I do really appreciate hearing other points of view, as much as he annoys me. But Glenn Beck has been pushing this anti-Trump from day one. He was a Ted Cruz guy, which is amazing. He never could figure him out after, by the end. But he, Glenn Beck now, his whole empire has almost collapsed. He's lost how many stations, and he had to lay off all these employees. And
really?
You know, oh, yeah. And Alex Jones has gone on, you know, just loving bashing Glenn Beck because Glenn Beck stole so much from him.
I'm shocked he lasted as long as he did.
I'm telling you, Glenn Beck, you know, for his credit, Glenn Beck put everything on the line for his belief with Ted Cruz. I think a lot of it was religious overtones, you know, both being Christians, him being Mormon, and then, you know, obviously Ted Cruz. There might be other reasons, but he put it all on the line. And as much as Glenn annoys me, he took all that money and everything and endorsed a candidate, which Rush Limbaugh and others are smart enough not to do, but he did out of principle. I think it's the wrong horse, by all means, to go after. I mean, I would have picked John Kasich definitely over Ted Cruz, my God. But nevertheless, you know, Glenn Beck's thing is falling apart. So
I'm not
weeping for him. So just last night, to give you an example, there's a guy named Thor Henderson or something like that, and he's a regular caller in on or a journalist or something on Glenn's show, who was part of the bashing Trump for the last year. And he was on the show yesterday because Glenn had heard that he started thinking about not being never Trump. He wasn't saying I was going to vote for Trump, but he was just saying, but the chance of Hillary getting in and the effect on the Supreme Court was more devastating for his children long term. So he was just, I think he was scared of Glenn Beck to admit that he might vote for Trump. So he was just saying, I can't support Hillary. And Glenn just kept bashing him about, so you're getting weak now? Are you disappointing me? Are you changing? Are you turncoat? That was the whole hour discussion with this guy. So it gives you an idea that that's a window to what's happening, is that these never Trump guys are now, you know, starting to have short memory. You know, the primaries passed us. They're starting to see Hillary, and then Trump being the, not savior, but the only alternative. And so these never Trump guys are going to have to make that decision.
You know,
how bad
this,
is 4 years with this guy?
You know, I saw this in the midnight when we were doing the Breakfast Club, and Harry Everingham had it, and we're just building up, and I was on the board of directors at one time, and we're all buddies and everything. Bob Dole was the anti-freaking Christ right up until he got the Republican nomination. And I told him, I said, you guys, you're killing me. I can't. This cognitive dissonance thing, you know, that you guys got, and if he's the nominee, well, then it's okay. I couldn't take that. And I just, you know, really pointed out that I thought that was unbecoming. And they would retreat into the same argument, not as bad as. I never did that. I just can't. I'm so disgusted with the whole thing. I just don't vote out of principle. I'm not giving support to a system I don't believe in anyway. I mean, I don't trust the. Even we got Roger Stone from Trump's coming out. They're going to steal this election. You know, I mean, you're saying this is, we got to watch. So what am I running for? County recorder. I know exactly who does it now. So you guys want to talk about it? If I get on the ballot, say, oh, let's talk about it. Because every time I run for Secretary of State or County Recorder, some reporter, the new guy, they think they're going to get some, and they don't know, and they go up, well, do you really think there's election fraud? And all the other reporters are like, oh. Didn't you get the memo? You never ask Ernie that question. So it'll be fun. But I can't see, if you think voting yourself free is an option, you haven't been paying attention. That it is just an opinion thing. And in the time that you've been an activist, dude, I've known you a long time, Mike. I've seen, you know, I see a lot of things, and I go, I wonder how that affects Mike. I wonder what Mike's going to, you know, say about that. Are you thinking we're trending? We're doing well. We're creating a foundation upon which the phoenix will rise from ashes, or are we just screwed and it'll blow away and we're, you know, totalitarian boot on the throat of man forever? I mean, are you seeing a trend develop at all? Does Trump represent that?
Well, like I said, I mostly look at the past because you can understand the past because people come out and rat out others, and, you know, documents are leaked. You can figure that out. But in terms, I think the past indicates that we're going down a bad direction. The direction is bad. We're trending bad. And if you're looking for a guess, my guess is we're an empire and we're going to go the way of all empires and get wiped out. I don't see, I'm sorry, Ernie, I do not see Phoenix rising. What I see is people who have knowledge that they get on from an institution like Phoenix Rising, Freedom's Phoenix, they can protect themselves and their families better. But, you know, this conglomeration, this complex, and whatever you want to call it, give it a different name than I've given it, they got control. They have the media. They got mind control out there. You know, I go into that in that three-hour video about mind control, and it sounds preposterous until you break it in little pieces, you know? It's like my two-year-old and four-year-old grandkids were looking at the TV the other day, and my wife says, hey, turn that thing off. They're hypnotized, you know? I mean, that's going on.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff going on, and so, no, I don't see anything really great. Unfortunately, I think... you can. There are ways to protect yourself, and one is at some point you want to lay low. You don't want to become a guy that you don't want to mess with the man. And I don't care how many guns you have.
You know, I give you a good example. In the mid '90s, L. Neil Smith, a prominent science fiction author, like 30 books, and libertarian hardcore guy, had a big influence on us. And the one thing he goes, government is a dying dinosaur. I mean, it's a dinosaur, but man, you go up and you want to count coup on it, you go up and tap it, you go sit and play it. You know, watch out for the tail and the teeth, and you get killed. I mean, just you see it dying there, let it die. Go get a sandwich. You don't need to be counting coup on it and poking it. At some point, everybody sees it coughing up blood. And you just go about your business and be over here. I'm not trying to change. Everybody keeps thinking that I want to change something. I just want to change me or my circumstance or us, and let's be aware, because it's going to be, government is its own worst enemy and our greatest cheerleader. I mean, they are cattle prodding people to libertarian leave me aloneism like crazy. You just keep it up. You're doing a good job. You know, you're my best recruiter. If I try to change, it's too much effort. It's not necessary. It's just, you develop ideas and technologies just to make them obsolete. You have your own currencies. You have your own building materials, your own technology, your own communication methods. Oh, next Thursday, Made Safe, David Irvine, founder, is coming on the show. Donna hooked that up. He goes, yep, it's time to go. Here we go. This is, you know, people, the audience has heard me talking about the decentralized internet so much because it's a concept, it's a philosophy. It is taking decentralization away, you know, or using that to get away from the central command authority of. It is so fundamental to what's happening. It is the collective versus the individual. It always has been, it always will be. And the promise of America was the defense of the individual and their rights to be left alone. Is that, you know, the life, liberty, pursuit of happiness? You know, pursuit of happiness is, I just want to do whatever it makes me happy. Well, I care. As long as I'm not violating your pursuit, what do you care? And the purpose of government was to allow for that. And when it done, it was time to alter or abolish. It was not only a right, it was a duty. This concept of the foundation of this country is very unique in human history. You may have little pockets of it, but not one of the superpowers. And what made it so super was this prosperity, and even government just getting a itty-bitty little bit of this enormous economic machine of freedom just producing this economy. It turned them into this enormous empire of we're going to be the death of our own success. And so I am trying to just inject in the generation next this understanding. Well, you see manifestations of this trend in things like Donald Trump. Donald Trump comes out, I am not them. Yeah, I got my billions, but it's a drop in the bucket compared to whatever. And I remember in 92, they go to Perot and they said, well, you're just buying the American president. He goes, yes, I am, because American people can't afford it. You know, and I'm going, well, that's a good attitude, you know. And he was worth a couple of billion back then, which is about the equivalent to probably what Trump is now. So I'm going, all right. So we're going to have a real, he gets to have a say. I'm wondering, in this campaign, how much, no matter how many billions they want to raise, and we're going to out-billion them, we got more billions to run for president, I'm wondering how much money has actually been spent. It's such a controversy, and it's so popular to have these guys talk about whatever. I'm not sure they've been spending a lot of it. Frank, do you got numbers of how much money they're spending on campaigns?
Trump's, his campaign war chest of a whole set of ads supposedly is coming out today or yesterday, being unleashed mainly in some of those states back east. So I'll be curious to hear. I'm sure I'll be hearing from my mom, who she said to herself, she's tuned out from the news. She is just done. And with the whole Trump thing and with Hillary. And to be honest with you, I sort of am too. I've probably watched the news cycles the least the last few weeks, just because of the part that I keep trying to point out is it's so overdone. I mean, for me, and I can handle media bias, but I'll read this stuff off to you. I mean, just the inundation and the poor quality of even what the headlines are. They don't even make sense half the time. When you really think about them, they're just questions. They're just throwing things out. Is Donald Trump an alien from Mars? We're not saying he is for slander reasons. We're just throwing a question.
Have you seen
and
the Hillary movie?
He can play
movie?
This game. The new one?
Yeah.
There's two of them. There's the newest one. No.
Oh, there's two?
Yeah, it was the one we talked about on the show called Hillary the Movie. And
well,
that one.
This
we,
last one.
Well, this last one just came out in the theater. This last one was by D'Souza, the guy D'Souza who got thrown in jail after he did the Obama deception. What? Not the deception. The Obama. What was the one? It was the other movie he had in the theaters we went to see some a couple years ago. Then they put him in prison for it. Well, not for that. It was some kind of tax issue or something. But it wasn't because he just put a movie out about Obama, right? And then, can't make this up. And so he got out of prison, and of course, God bless him. He goes right back into it, and he puts this movie, the Hillary the Movie Part 2, it seems. So I didn't get to see it. I got correspondence on
it. So this is done
it.
By the same people?
Well, Hillary the Movie, which was called that on YouTube, that was not by D'Souza. That was a whole different one. And it had Dick
What's
Morris.
What's the name of this one?
Hillary's America,
Hillary's
right?
America, yeah, I think it's called, yeah.
You know, this is that, and of course they did everything they could to try and stop the movie in the federal election of we kind of probably, ouch, quit, who cares? But banning movies, I mean, that's another... Ugh.
Yeah, they're doing that, and Vax, the same thing, you know? And these are First Amendment liberals from Hollywood, you know, have no problem. It seems banning certain movies.
Well, this, you know, is that the campaign, is just how bad Hillary is? I'm trying to... And the money has yet to... I've been waiting on... I thought that after the conventions... That Trump was going to, all right, you want to see some commercials, I can get some. And I was very pleased with myself and my mind was at rest. In 2014, I didn't watch a single campaign ad. Nothing. Because we do Roku and online, and anytime anything ad, I don't care. It was on the pop-up on that, I don't care. Ad, I don't care. But we started because of the Olympics. You turn on the Olympics or you're on the television. I'm actually offline and on commercial and you're watching with the rabbit ears, Channel 10, and this, that. You know, just going into the news, it is total immersion in all this campaign crap. I just can't. I just, you know, flip it off, turn the sound down, whatever. It's just so much crap. And I'm wondering, what are they appealing to? I mean, have you been watching them, Mike? You see some of the campaign ads?
Well, no, I try not to watch mainstream media on the television, certainly the campaign ads, but notwithstanding, because I'll watch stuff on YouTube or go to my homepage on the computer, they have those Kelly Ward campaign ads there.
Yeah.
I see those, and, you know, I know whether it's from whatever side it's from, it's propaganda, so I just don't watch the stuff.
When people like Kelly Ward, and I know Kelly well enough, you know, and they do this, you kind of look at them and you're going, you really don't, I don't know who was advising you, but you really don't understand what you're up against. They're not playing it right. It's like they don't understand how big the beast is. You know, behind you see the dragon head, but you don't know how really big it is. And I got that impression that they, you know, thought, well, we're going to this and we're going to, if you're not willing to do battle, if you're not willing to do the Trump throw out, you know, verb bombs, you know, of, you know, freaking crazy. I would look at Trump and his campaign as a there should be a class. In the future, I'm sure there will be a class. And that's where Frank Lutz came from. In 1992, after the Perot thing, he went and did focus groups and interviewed all these people, United We Stand, the people that were behind Perot. That's where it launched him, that research and that observation and that willingness to, you know, for the man and working with Rove or whatever and Fox. That's what made him. It was the Perot thing. He was working out of his apartment in California or something. I mean, it was one of those deals. And I'm going, yep. Well, what's the class going to be on Trump? Is it going to be, you know, get your own reality TV program and, you know, build a brand of you get the whatever? Or is it, you know, bombastic of, you know, we're going to ship off all the immigrants or, you know, the controversial thing? I mean, what, from your perspective, I've seen it as he just owns the 24-hour news cycle from a tweet. I think that is genius. So what's been your opinion of the campaign?
Well, I think it's yet to be determined because the debates have yet to occur, and presumably Trump will let loose some pretty tough weapons at that point. So I don't know what's going to happen, if he's going to be a big failure or a big success, and he could be just a guy who's singularly able to manipulate the media. So I don't know.
They don't like it. They've tried. I mean, they come in. It was amazing the questions that they. It was kind of like the Ron Paul thing. Do you have any electability, sir? I mean, you know, that kind of crap. And I'm just. Well, survey says that you're crazy. Respond. I mean, it's just. I'm sick of this. But will we have a debate party between Hillary and Trump?
Of course.
Probably.
No, the thing is, Trump normally runs the narrative, and, you know, I think it was probably a plan for the liberals to allow him to continue the narrative and get all the free advertising from the liberal side to get him the nominee, and then saving it up and then using all of that free media that they own, just dumping on him. And that's what they're doing. And the reason, Ernie, I keep bringing this up, and maybe you guys downplay it, maybe because you just assume, well, what's the point, Frank? The media is biased. Yeah, I know. But I don't think many of the listeners, even as much as we know it, aren't seeing how biased. And it's not that we don't know in this audience, but to really let people know why. I mean, I'm hearing constantly from people who don't pay attention as much, who are just being inundated in this milieu, and they don't even realize how they're being taken by this media. So this is just over 2 days of, this is day one in 2 days, just looking at the Google News feed. This is like a, and you can see, Mike, it's just a standard, I took a snapshot of Google top news. Okay, so here we go. And let's not get bogged down in each of the stories. I just want to rattle them off and just give you an idea. This is the headlines, okay? Right off the bat, Secret Service spoke to Trump campaign about Second Amendment comment. Right, that's when he made a comment about, you know, people with guns might, you know, be able to take care of the government, right? And then people thought he was threatening Hillary's life. That was from CNN. Then Donald Trump now says even legal immigrants are a security threat. And of course, that's from everybody's favorite rag. I use it for bathroom tissue, the Washington Post. Next. Oh, here's a Clinton article. Here's a Clinton one. Clinton, her old self during recent interview. All right. That was the thing. Next.
Look, she's not. She's lucid.
She's actually
she's
nice.
President.
Yeah.
She's talking to people.
Next. The conning. K-H-A-N-N-I-N-G. The conning of America. Right. Which, and that one's from Front Page Magazine.
Or they reference.
And that one, I don't know whether or not that is pro or anti, because, of course, that gentleman Khan, and, you know, who spoke at the DNC about losing his son and supposedly. So that's another Trump article. Next. Donald Trump is in, quote, abusive braggart, end quote, unfit to lead our armed forces. That's from the extremely conservative Seattle Times. All right. Next, we have. Oh, this, these are just right after each other, aren't they,
Mike?
They're just right after.
I agree.
Next,
show me. Let me see what it looks like.
Oh, it's just like boom.
A Google feed.
It's just Google, but it's just like bam, straight through. And I don't have any filters. This is just straight, like straight up, like what the average person sees. Next, Christian thinkers blast theologian Wayne Grudem for defense of Donald Trump as a morally good choice. That's from the Christian Post.
Yeah, compared to what?
Next, Obama's legacy by the Jerusalem Post Israel News. So that I'm curious. I didn't read that one. This one you guys will love. Libertarian, and they put it in quotes, Libertarian Gary Johnson. Would you believe that? They put that in quotes. Libertarian Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, come on. They're a newspaper, right? Libertarian Gary Johnson prefers government control to religious freedom. And that's from Breitbart News, which obviously is a Trump news rag. It's kind of like the Trump Pravda, some people are arguing.
Well,
and
that's
so now
true.
They're trying to knock.
Gary's going on about it. Should force and wedding cake makers to make.
Exactly.
Games,
so
whatever discrimination, he doubled down on.
So
that.
What you'll see is that the liberals keep trying to pump up the libertarian, and then of course here's the one time they're trying to nail the libertarians is Breitbart. But then on the other hand, other people are trying to pump up Jill Stein on the Green Party, and as we'll see next. Let's see, we got another one here, and this is worth going over a few of these. So that was one. That was just the first story, and one that was one Photoshop. No, not Photoshop. One
screenshot.
That was a screenshot. I wasn't rolling down. That was all one page. Now, here's the next day. Donald Trump appoints media firebrand to run campaign. That's what you were talking about. He got a new campaign guy from Breitbart News, I believe, to help run it. And that's from the New York Times. Next is, let's say, everything is... Oh, by the way, Bill Bidwell's wife passed away recently. But that's kind of a Phoenix thing for you guys. Of the Cardinals here.
Cardinal.
Yeah, I met him because he was part of the prostate cancer conference. He had prostate cancer, and he talked about it openly and helped with that funding. Anyway, next we have, let's see what else we got. It was kind of a slow Trump day a little bit, this one, but there was still a lot of things. Here's one by MarieClaire.com, which is like a female magazine. My Crazy Year with Trump. So here's a whole article. That's what it's called in Spotlight. My Crazy Year with Trump. Then there's another one here, some good ones. Can Republicans really dump Trump? That's the BBC. Here's another one. What a Clinton landslide would look like. That's from the 538, right? They don't say what a Trump landslide would look like.
When we look at Freedom's Phoenix, you'll see I go through a lot of different sites, and I'll pull up, and it's kind of stuff that it's not pro, anti, back, forth, it's balance, whatever. I just, the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And when I put it up, they'll go, well, that's not a libertarian article, and that's not this, and that's, it's just a radar screen. Are you pro, anti-Trump, Hillary? I'm not anything. I'm just like, this is what they're saying.
Right.
This is what they're doing. As you read these articles that are anti-Trump, from our perspective, a lot of the thing, he said and did this, isn't that bad? Not really. he's rising up in my pool, in my head, you know what I'm saying? So I don't see it the same way they do. They will take a fact and go, this is bad. Based on what? Because we said. Nobody's thinking. You know, it's like critical thinking went out the window.
Oh, it did. Carlin. That's what that Jimmy Kimmel thing was about. And we can play the Conan. But let me just finish a couple of the last ones here. Here's another. This is right after the one that said, what a Clinton landslide look like? Wow, that's interesting. Place that in everyone's mind. Yeah, Clinton landslide. Meanwhile, right above that article, what a Clinton landslide would look like. Mike, you can see it right above it. It says, can Republicans really dump Trump? Look at that. I mean, it's right next to each other. It's unbelievable. I don't know if people can't see this. Next is fear and anger in Trump land. That's the BBC as well. Probably people who are against Brexit, I'm sure. Next, here's from CNN. Jill Stein, I will have trouble sleeping at night if either Trump or Clinton is elected. That's actually probably the most balanced one I've seen, is having Jill Stein say that one. Next, from The Observer, Rise of the Bernie-crats, a whole new wing. This is the Ron Paul wing that began to evolve into the Tea Party, and I predicted that everything Bernie did is going to emulate point for point the Ron Paul movement, including, Ron Paul is not Donald Trump, but Donald Trump came from the ashes of that that movement, right? And so we're going to see the new version of Bernie Sanders, and who knows who that's going to probably what's his name? Clooney. I think it'll be Clooney.
Inside your wall.
George Clooney. All right, next. Ohio politics now. Donald Trump's Youngstown speech includes talk of, quote, extreme vetting for immigrants. That's the Columbus Dispatch. I'm almost done here. Next is Giuliani declares a Trump speech the best speech that any Republican, at the least, has ever given. That's from the Washington Post. So they're bashing Giuliani, saying, "Oh, so that's considered the high water standard." Next, feminine website. Bill Clinton, actually, this one's from The Blaze. This is from Glenn Beck, somehow got on here. Feminist website. Bill Clinton may have raped Juanita Broderick, but that doesn't mean he's, quote, evil. So that's the one. Yeah, I'll give him that one. We got one there. There's one about Target adding private bathrooms to quell transgender debate. So Target has a third option for bathrooms, those who are interested. And, of course, there's a little mention.
The porta potty.
And there's a little mention of Trump. And I'm almost done. Next, here's tangential Trump. Univision expands digital reach with Gawker deal. So Gawker, that likes to bash on Trump in some way, has now gone in service with Univision, which of course despises Trump. Next, this one is a whole.
Bail their crap out because Peter Thiel is suing them.
Yes, absolutely. Now, this one here is not really Trump. This is for a whole other show because we've talked about, and actually at our think tank, we discussed this under Politics, New York Times. As insurers balk, U.S. makes new push to boost Health Care Act. So that's a whole other area about how the insurance companies are all tanking with Obamacare. They cannot keep up. They cannot survive. That's another issue. And then I think we got the last ones. Oh, celebrity news. Paul McCartney on Hillary Clinton. Quote, she's with me. And Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong compares Donald Trump to Hitler. So who the heck? I don't want to listen to Green Day. And then we got the last one here at the very bottom, which appears to be at the top, by NPR. The Clintons wrote the book on how politicians climb out of the middle class. So the two articles about Clinton were about how, you know, they climb out of the middle class, and how can you imagine a Clinton landslide? And aside from that Glenn Beck little thing about Juanita Broderick, I mean, I lost count how many of these Trump articles.
Well,
so there's the media for you people.
Well, I'm just, when you do that and you look at that and you see it's kind of, and you think people don't know. I mean, you don't think they really don't.
No.
You don't think they're being manipulated. They don't know they're being manipulated and processed.
You know, it's one of those things. A lot of them just don't. But then, even those that do, they're not as headstrong as we are, or stubborn with it, because we live in it. How many people will say, if you ask the average person, do you think government's corrupt?
I don't think
there's one person that you'll ask. They'll say, no, it's not corrupt. Everyone, even if they don't know how, they'll just say because, you know. Yeah, people are corrupt, and you're asking the question, well, yeah, of course government's corrupt. I know that. Do you think your vote counts? Ask the average person. Do you think your vote counts? The average person will probably say, well, I don't think so. But then if you ask them, you know, well, then you know, what are you doing about it? Are you voting third party? Are you getting involved? Are you just saying, I'm not voting, like what you do? Are you taking a stand, whatever it is? They don't. They turn around, they get nervous, they go back, and they pull the lever for the same status each time. And in their gut, and that's kind of what you're dealing with too, Mike, is that they can say on one hand, yes, I distrust, and yes, and they'll parrot it. But it's different than actually feeling it. You know, just one quick analogy. I deal with this all the time as a physician. I deal with prostate cancer, those of you who are new to the show. And my patients fly in. And my job, in essence, is guys come in being told they have prostate cancer. But real quick, prostate cancer only kills 1 out of 9 people who have it. So a lot of my guys want to know, are they in the 1 out of 9 and they need surgery, which means they can never have an erection again? Or are they in the 8 out of 9 chance, which they probably won't die of it? So should they take the chance on it? And so, you know, there's this issue when guys come in and they often parrot things to me. And there's a lot in prostate cancer. They hear that the PSA, which is the test to tell you if you have cancer or not, is not reliable. And they'll say, the PSA is not reliable. Or they'll say, prostate cancer is the good one to have. Or they parrot these things. Like they'll say, cancer only eats sugar. So I'm not eating any sugar and I'm going to stop the cancer. And which is, I'm glad that they're thinking this. But I say, okay, if you're not eating any sugar, then what are you eating? And they say, I'm eating broccoli and spinach and all of these good things, which is good. But then I tell them, but those are all sugars. You know, when your body breaks down broccoli into the exact same carbohydrates as an M&M, chemically, it's the same the way your cell sees it. So you're eating sugar. Now, clearly, I'm not telling them to eat M&Ms when you have cancer, because broccoli, there's 1,000 reasons why you should eat that for cancer. But on the surface, they parrot these things. They say, I'm just going to eat sugar. This is this. This is that. A lot of these knee jerks. But when they say, for instance, we all have cancer in us, which is true. We all have cancer in us. patients will tell me, we all have cancer in us. And then I say, okay, why are you here? Why are you here to see me? And they say, because I want to know, do I have prostate cancer? And then I say, well, you just told me we have cancer all the time. So yeah, you have cancer. And when I tell them what they just told me that they have, their eyes turn into saucers and they get all upset. And I understand why. I'm not in any way mocking my patients in any way. This is a typical human response. But it's that concept where, to getting back to the politics here, where people will say something because they're used to just regurgitating it. Yes, government's corrupt. Yes, I don't trust politicians. Yes, yes, yes. But do they really feel it in their gut? Can they back it? Do they know why government's corrupt? You could go on for a damn year about all the reasons why.
Authoritarian sociopathy.
But most people can't.
In this newspaper, Davi Barker's article, uh-huh. and their yesterday's show or day before we had, he gave a presentation at Libertopia in 13, and I watched it again. You know, I just started watching. I came across it, and it was so entertaining. I just kept watching. It was an hour long, and I'm going, it is a mental condition. It is human control, brain freaking, we got the manual of how we get people do what we want to do kind of thing. And it's just, generally, it's fear. You know, it's just, you know, you're afraid. And they need to keep you in a constant state of fear. There's always something going to kill us, you know? And I'm wondering if Trump can make America great again without scaring the living crap out of people into doing it. You know, it's always, ISIS and immigrants of somebody's got it. But where the biggest threat to me is just freaking corrupt government. And he endorses McCain. So I'm just going, I don't get invested in these things because I'm always disappointed. Mm-hmm. And what only thing that I can do is I can represent those that understand that you're not going to vote yourself free. It's a public opinion thing. You can vote, don't vote, run, don't run. I don't care. That's not the point. The point is that what is the real cure? It's understanding the truth, uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies. If you understand the truth and what your role can be in it, at the very least, stop supporting the beast that's devouring you. Quit being on the central grid. You know, freaking get a solar panel and at least, you know, power your bathroom light or something. I mean, you know, do something to where you're starting to extricate yourself from this. So a lot of our activities, a lot of things that we do is to that end and inspire people. And I want to make sure that, you know, it's not a feeling of hopelessness. You know, I don't feel helpless and hopeless. I feel very empowered. And we have a lot of friends and people that feel very empowered. We get some influence. We do some things. And, you know, the most recent thing that's coming up is September 10th. We'll have the, you know, the vaccine education summit with the vaxxed people and some doctors or whatever at the Sheridan Crescent Resort down here. We do our summit. So it'll be a one-day Saturday thing with a party that night. And I'll have a bunch of people coming in. We'll have us a good time. Yeehaw. And I'm going, yeah, blah, 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 blah. I want to have people, some of the activists that we know. And I go, $20 to each of these for gas, and they go and they blanket the entire parking garage at hospital A, B, C, D, E, F, the school of whatever. This guy, here they are. Everybody, $20. And they'll do it. I'm going to make them pay. I mean, they probably do it anyway. I go, no. Right here, right now, $20. They walk out here. They go do it. Right now. With a gazillion movies, it gets passed out on their car windshields. Why? Because I know so many nurses, doctors, interns, staff, people, they are inundated with the BS from the pharmaceutical industry, and they need to know that pharma has been lying. The CDC is under regulatory capture. These people that do all these studies that support, their whistleblowers are coming out. That wasn't true. The head of that department goes and works for Merck. They have, you know, incentives to wear way more than whatever the cost of the vaccine and incentives for people to do this. Why? To make people sick for something, or just make money. I don't even understand it. It's so stupid. $40,000 that you get a bonus when 63% of your people are vaccinated. You get hundreds of dollars per vaccine. Hell, it don't even cost that much. Something is going on. And it's a whole generation of their something. I am, I have a lot of faith in humanity in general. I do, you know, they go, I know Michael is like, people are, man, they've been dupedified for, but think about it. How many trillions of dollars have they spent in government education, youth indoctrination, mandatory camps, you know, Pentagon propaganda worldwide, our media, the banks. I mean, trillions of dollars over decades to put us in this mindset. And we're still breaking out. We still have a voice. We still are using technology. We still have Generation Next keep coming up asking the right questions. We still are decentralizing. We still have to where borders and boundaries are starting to get less, and Generation Next is communicating with each other, and hell, half the, you know, kids under 30 speak English regardless of where they live.
I want to mention about Generation Next. We have someone here in the studio, Mr. Malik, who
Malik,
he's been hanging out here patiently with all of this going on. He's my stepson for the summer here. Yeah, I know. I'm the better looking of the two, I guess. Is that right, Malik?
Yeah.
Right now, he's been staying with us. It's been a real pleasure.
You're young. How old are you? 19, 20, 21?
He's 19. Yeah, he's like good 10 looking. Foot. He's like 10 foot tall. And by the way, I wish Tarzan was here with his shirt off, because he's got some major competition with this
Thank
guy.
You
should be seeing this.
I would definitely be asking for the shirt to come off and, you know, beat
you
down
should,
on
He's
Tarzan
too modest. Malik's too modest. So I'm telling you, he's got girls like crashing outside our street. We've got to keep him away with the police. It's amazing. But in any case, Malik here, he's the son of one of our guests we've had on the show, Mario Osborne, Super Mario, the Black Avenger. We call him, and personally one of my best friends, probably my best friend, and was actually helping on my campaign. So a call out to Mario Osborne, and he was here giving his talk some time ago about his business, about helping student athletes, setting up websites and marketing, and a unique business opportunity, meaning setting up profiles for people and using the media in a different way,
you know,
to get around the market.
We introduced him to his website and everything to my granddaughter, and she got tapped by scouts for Olympic development team and went down and tried out in Casa Grande.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find out today whether they selected her for that league.
Wow.
To be an Olympian soccer player.
Wow.
I mean, I told you she had skills, man.
She's
you go to a game and all three goals are by her, and Bennett like Beckham on one and headbutted the other one and muscled in the other guy, kicked your butt. She's 13. You know, beautiful kid, too.
Well, Malik is interesting, I wanted him to come to the show, just kind of see what a radio show is like, and not to mention the future of radio, and that it's the people. That's what Freedom's Phoenix is about. It's a professional show, but in today's world with technology, you can be extracted from the main corporations and have a voice, and have Mike here, and have these voices. Malik's interesting, too, and I'm not bringing up his personal views with this, but he does go to Grand Canyon University, and Grand Canyon's a private university here. It happens to be mainly Christian. Doesn't mean you have to be a Christian to go, I don't believe, but it is a Christian college here.
Pretty much.
And yeah, but the thing is, Malik's been going, and I asked him a question because, you know, unfortunately he's our roommate, meaning that he's stuck watching me with Fox News constantly.
Oh my God.
Poor Malik. I don't know how he sleeps. He's got the news going all the time, and he's been a great. I mean, he's fantastic. But I asked him, I said, you know, you're going to a Christian college, and all I hear about all these colleges, they're all, you know, Democrat and Bernie. But if you think about it, it's private, Christian, more Christians tend to be more Republican, and if they're paying cash, you know, they're going out of their way. They're probably more conservative parents, and I'm wondering, are the children following in their footsteps? You would think, in a way, that a Christian college would have more young people for Republicans, the YAF, for Trump, perhaps, and it was just a thought, and I asked Malik, and he had said it was probably around 30, I don't think you're going to get him, he was just saying that it was probably around like 30% in his estimation that people were probably more Trump, and which I don't know if that's good or bad compared. I guess that's probably good. It's probably like 10% from a regular college. But for there, according to him, it's about 30% that he's running into at a
You know, this
college.
Is the one campaign that I've noticed one thing there. You know, Mike, I'd like to get your comment on this. It used to be that you would have so many people would have the Democrat bumper sticker. Then you had so many people. You just got to say hello, Malik. I mean, come on, get your voice on freaking. Don't be weenie.
Just listen.
Dad's up there and just want to hear your voice on the radio.
Just to prove that you're here.
Just to say,
do something.
You weren't being a slacktivist. But, you know, I'm going to ask Mike this question, And then you can respond to this too, Malika. This is the point. In previous elections, there's always been, yeah, I'm a so-and-so supporter, and I got my, you know, the Democrat, whatever, bumper sticker of Obama, you know, whatever. I'm a Republican, and I got my, how many W bumper stickers can I have? Because my kids went to Phoenix Christian Junior Senior High. So at 6 years, four kids, 24 kid years of men, I got a OD. As I'm running for, you know, Libertarian, whatever the heck, and they all knew me, and we're all peace. But you go in the parking lot, and it's W bumper stickers everywhere. Okay, so this election cycle, I don't hardly see any Hillary bumper stickers, and I sure as crap don't see any Trump ones. Because it's like, you have either one, your car gets keyed or something. So I'm like, have you seen any overt, I got the sign, and I got Gary Johnson signs, people have left yard signs for me to put out, but I can't. It doesn't represent anything. I just can't. Where have you, the only place that I saw signs were Trump signs in Washington State, was up there on the side of the roads and so on. But I'm going, have you seen any overt, open, a lot of support in the populace? And then I'm going to ask Malik, you know, about on campus, but what have you seen? People willing to show it?
Well, I mean, anyone can see it on the highway. I guess there's certainly not as much of the bumper stickers now for either person. Probably a little more Hillary ones.
Are there on the highway? Are there billboards for these guys?
No, I don't see those. You know, I don't see that. Some guys I know, they'll send me stuff on emails, forwarding stuff, saying, "Hey, Trump's not a bad guy." There's an email out there that's got a lot of circulation. Say, "Hey, you know, he's a father, he's a grandfather, he's this and that." But it's not a simple. It's not made out to be the simple choice that some of these past elections have been.
I'm not seeing enthusiasm from anybody in, you know, certainly not a Ron Paul thing, but you would think even, you know, Bernie at least had something. I mean, these guys, I have not seen such a lack of personal investment interest on my car bumper sticker in this election than any other election.
I think what I've seen that's different than other elections is you see the enthusiasm against the other candidate. You say you don't vote for Hillary, or you can't, you're kidding me, you're going to vote for Trump.
Yeah. Well, Malik, you know, with that kind of understanding of what the question is here, on campus, it is a unique campus. You know, Glen Canyon, I've had, you know, friends with their kids that go there, and, you know, and it's a beautiful place, and I've known a lot of the board of directors of the years past of whatever. But it is Christian oriented. There are no bones about that. So I'm wondering, from your perspective, and being black, that has something to do with it too. Is that an issue in Arizona anymore? I mean, that's not really an issue with you. You think being black an issue?
No, it's very, I mean, it's underlining, of course, but it's definitely not as bad as it would be other parts of the country.
Well, I mean, here, I mean, is that even an issue? Is there a Black Lives Matter kind of rallies of the whatever? Does anybody care?
Of course, there's always people out there, but it's not about necessarily Arizona topics, per se.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, in that light, being a college student at a Christian university in Arizona, and FYI black, but I'm going, what is your perception of the support of the student body? Are they even expressing it? If I got a random sample of 1,000 kids, you know, what percentage of them, how many of them are not even, I don't even have an opinion, don't care, and don't bother me?
It's very hard to tell. It's not very well expressed. Like, if you were just to walk on campus, you wouldn't really know
that there was a campaign at all?
Yeah.
As in, you know, no bumper stickers, people aren't having tables vote for, and you should, and in class, and rally for, and on the quad, we're going to sign of, nothing?
Nothing. I mean, when I would go to other schools just to visit with friends, you would at least see, back when Bernie was still running, you would see a bunch of Bernie stuff, but not at my school, that never even.
So Malik, are there any regulations? Does the school put limitations on campaigns at your school? Do they ban T-shirts showing campaigns?
No, not at all.
You know, I would wonder if that would even, you know, have an impact. You know, somebody say you can't do it. Hell, that's more reason for a college student to do it. Yeah. You know, so I am. Also got a question for you. Living with Dr. Frank and his freaking Dr. Frankisms, you know, I'm wondering how this is impacting you. Going, oh, my God, make it stop. Or are you learning something? You go, yeah, what he said. Or is he always, hey, Malik, look at this. See. I already know how he does it, you know. But I'm just so you're by osmosis just being there. What are you getting from this POTUS 2016 election cycle? Because this is your first presidential election cycle as a young man. You're 19. I remember my first one at this age for you was Carter versus Reagan. And man, if that wasn't a, you know, freaking dose in, you know, different sides. So what's your impression of this whole thing? You know, just kind of watching. Are you invested in it? Are you going to vote? Or are you just like, ah, screw this? I mean, give me your impression.
It's very, very interesting just being around it. Because if I wasn't living with Frank, I probably would definitely not be paying as much attention at all. But it was funny, like, the first week of the summer, he was telling me about Trump and Hillary, and he said, yeah, it's pretty definite that Trump is going to win. And then he next asked me if I was going to vote. And I asked him, why would I vote when you just told me that Trump was going to win?
Oh, busted!
Thanks.
And?
So, I'm probably not going to vote.
But why? I mean, is there, I mean, I don't, but I got my reasons. I mean, what's your reasoning? You're like, I'm not inspired, or yeah, I'm not supporting the system. I don't trust it, you know, because I got, like, wash my hair. I mean, why?
I mean, no, there's no definitive reason.
You're just not inspired.
Yeah.
You know, this is not, there's no issue. Yeah, but Bernie, he's going to give you free college, man. They're getting lined for my free stuff. You know, and of course, he's being a doctor. He brings up things like Obamacare, you know, or socialized medicine, regardless of what you call it. Your future is what? I mean, how hopeful are you? What are you studying? Where are you hoping to be with your life and make money?
I'm majoring in sports management.
So entertainment, you know, kind of in the... You know, as far as, you know, sports management as an agent, sports management, you know, of run a team, a franchise. I mean, what kind of area are you going to specify?
No, probably more towards having, like, working with nonprofit organizations in sports areas more so.
Because this is something you know and you're kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your father is well-versed in a lot of this stuff, so I'm sure he's going to, you know, give you a leg up on a lot of things. But this is, I'm looking at the future, because I have, you know, grandkids. You know, I got 4 kids, 10 grandkids. I'm grandkid up. And they're, you know, a little bit younger. The oldest are 15, so they're not a whole lot younger than you. So I got this long line, a tapestry of down to babies. I mean, it just keeps going under a year old. I mean, I got a big, giant tapestry. What can I do best for them to have opportunities? I mean, just to be able to live and not be in squalor and, you know, war and devastation if I'm in Syria kind of crap. And I'm wondering what you're looking at are the issues that you think is being decided in this election, or you think everybody, we're just all making much ado about nothing. It's just, it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, what do you see the future being, you know, for you to be able to thrive and get married and have kids? And, you know, what are you looking at?
I'm not really sure how to answer that.
You need to pay attention to Dr. Frank some more. Or not. You know, it's going to, you know, I tell you what's going to happen. Mike, what would you say to a young man like this, you know, a good-looking, smart kid with supportive family and friends and ready to go into the world, go get some, and he's like, what should he be looking for?
Well, honestly, I'd say follow the commandments, even though it might not be immediately productive or might be hard at times. Have faith in yourself and the future, and things will pan out really good for you. Just take the high road always. Life's a long run, and you'll do okay. But I'll also say that human nature, there's a lot of pitfalls in human nature. You know, I'm sorry to, again, quote the Bible, but Christ said, in this world you will have trouble, but fear not, I have overcome the world. So you're going to have all sorts of problems, just like we got now. But if you take the high road, you follow the commandments, and you do right, over the long run, things will work out really good for you.
You know, a good philosophy to live by, and then that's supposed to manifest itself in who you choose as representatives in the democracy, republic of the constitutional restriction, blah, 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 blah. I'm wondering what is a fundamental truth that your generation, and maybe specifically you, but certainly, you know, what you consider your peers, what are they looking for? I need more goodies. I need more freedom. I need more subsidy. I need more leave me aloneism. I need more invasions. I need a better, stronger military. I mean, you're looking for, if this government to be representative or good and we're going to have a future, it should be more what? Take your time. When the hell have the teacher ever asked you this question? You know, so I'm just like, honestly, take your time. I mean, what are you looking forward to? I mean, you think this country should be, they should emphasize what more?
I feel like we're just too involved in other countries and not focusing enough on ourselves.
Yeah. There you go right there, man. I mean, we stop messing with everybody. All this, about 90% of this crap goes away. You know, good answer.
I have a question for you, Mike. Where, you know, when I grew up, we had, it's funny, we gave a little statement earlier about John McLaughlin. You probably don't know who he is. And that was my time. I mean, we had Ted Koppel on Nightline. We had, back in Ernie's day, I think it was black and white television in his day. But we had, we had Walter Cronkite. And News Today has been so split. And Ernie's been part of this thing about the new news and how people assimilate news. But how do you, either personally or the friends around you, where do you get your news? Is it from Facebook? Is it the BBC, YouTube? Like
memes.
Where do you get your news from?
All memes.
It's all cut down to Jon Stewart Daily Show meme of somebody said picture of, bumper sticker.
Basically, yeah. Twitter is where all of my peers get their...
Donald Trump.
Twitter.
Does Twitter, the feeds on Twitter, does it leak over into politics? Do you get a lot of, Trump-Hillary stuff?
Well, I don't use Twitter, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, I'm liking you more and more all the time. That was one thing that you could see with Donald Trump. He's a Twitter candidate. That's awesome. I can kick butt and get the 24-hour news cycle of 140 characters. Watch me do it, you know? Then the Facebook. Do you do Facebook? You the man! No Facebook, no Twitter? How the heck did you manage that?
I had a Twitter. It was just, I didn't like listening to other people talk about things I didn't care about. So I had to stop.
Wow. You're way ahead of the curve. So how do you communicate? Are you an email guy? You don't care? Are you online at all? Do you have your favorite platform?
Yeah, I use Snapchat and Instagram. So.
Like my daughter.
I got to tell you how special Malik is and how much we corrupted this poor boy here is that through his father and myself. Is that, a lot of the times kids might ask, I guess, what's on TV or what's going on with the sports or whatever. And he wound up in the background, was talking to his father, and Malik starts asking, he goes, hey, Dad, what's the spot price today?
Ooh.
And how old are you? It was like 5-6 years ago. And Malik is a business guy. He was starting his own little business, selling bracelets to people in the school. And he was the only... But the kid was...
Longer than that.
It was a long ago. I don't know how long ago it was. And he's asking about the spot price. That's how...
Silver or gold?
Yeah, silver and gold. He was asking... The fact he even knows what a spot price was, that's how much we've corrupted him. So he was already thinking precious metals from our influence and others at, 10 years old? 12? Something? I mean, So he's the future, I hope.
Well, what is the most influential on campus there? Is it the jock, the cheerleader, the smart guy, because Phoenix Christian Junior Senior High, I was really impressed with how nice everybody was. You know, there was there wasn't this, you had your cliques and the popular kids and all that, but they were not mean. They were inclusive and everybody was kind of a team atmosphere. Is it a team atmosphere there at Grand Canyon?
Most definitely.
Okay, so that team atmosphere goes, the team is for what? Personal development, worship, furthering the Christian doctrine of the whatever, is it political? I mean, the team is on the team of what?
Just with everyone, we're just all striving to better each other, really. I mean, in Grand Canyon, everyone, a large majority are athletes, so pretty much everyone is a jock there. But we have a lot of band members and just different, it's very diverse.
Yeah, no, I got that impression. That's kind of a product of the people on the board and the professors that know a lot. It's really a unique, and it's heavily marketed here in the Valley. You know, people, Grand Canyon University is like a thing, you know, so it's good to hear. You know, before we wrap this up, we need to put up your, you know, some video or thing that you wanted to end with.
Let's just play it. We can just watch it and go off on it.
That's why when we're ready, just go ahead and get ready with it.
All right.
And then we'll end with that. But, Mike, is there anything you want to say before we go that is profound? Watch your video. You want to know what I think? It only takes you 3 hours. But what are you looking forward at the end of this election cycle? Is it going to be a different America if it's Hillary or Clinton? Or are we going down the same path or the same? It's going to be the same no matter what or what?
Well, it's going to be the same, I think, if Hillary gets in there. And Trump is a big gamble, so it could be a big change. He may figure stuff out, but I don't know. My parting words of wisdom are to thank you, Ernie, for being an activist for so many years, and also Pat Schwinn and others. Everybody else, all the people that I know, I think if you guys and if we weren't active in opposing some of the misconduct of large organizations, the misconduct would be a lot worse and we'd be impacted. So keep at it.
I'm hoping that humanity marches on. You know, we're seeing it's less nationalism, it's less patriotism, it's less medal counts of who gives a crap, you know, which country does whatever. And you'll like this, Malik. I was so excited. I've always been saying about the Olympics, I'm going, why the hell are we got medal count in this country versus, this a country thing? I thought it was an individual athlete of, you know, humanity marches on and how who's, you know, Usain Bolt is the fastest guy and I don't care what country he's from. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm going, when they have a athlete that was born on, you know, some boat in the ocean that lives out in the ocean and swims faster than dolphins, and I'm the, you know, next Michael Phelps only has 25 medals and I got 47 or something. You know, I'm going, wow, that would be cool if there was, you know, the anarchist flag goes up and they, you know, the national anthem for him is Led Zeppelin or something. I mean, I'm like, yay, now we've won. Okay, stop this nation state politics and Moscow boycott and Russia getting into politics of ew. I have no room for that in some of the concept of the Olympics. Then I saw that there's somebody won a medal that was with the independent, you know, not affiliated countries of something. And I went, what? They could do that? I'm all over that, man. I want to do that. I vote that guy, whoever it is, you know. Come to find out, the Olympic Committee has, when countries are in transition, like Yugoslavia went to Serbia and Boga, whatever the heck, right? Montenegro, I can't even remember what it was. So when they break up and they don't really have a country, or they can't just, you know, throw them in with some other country, what they do is they say, you know, you're like an independent citizen of the Olympics. You know, you're kind of something else as opposed to unaffiliated. You're always affiliated, but you're affiliated with, I don't know, this, you know, holder country as we're, you know, finding somebody else for you. When the Olympics is done, being someone that's in sports and so on, do you identify, is it a country thing with you guys now? Because it used to be. I mean, in 1980, hockey team with the miracle of we beat the Russian government, it was all politicized. So in sports, do you guys have a country mentality, or is it team or corporate? Or it's just the individual? I'm wanting to get your attitude as you're growing up inside sports.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, growing up, I wouldn't say it was very about country, but this Olympics has definitely been about USA.
USA.
Oh, yeah.
USA. So when you're
watching, Usain Bolt. USA and Usain Bolt.
And Jamaica's close. It's kind of, you know, Jamaica's got a bobsled team. I mean, yeah, you know. So, All right. Well, that's it. I'm looking for these kind of cracks, these kinds of things, this attitude. I'm trying to see if the generation next, they're just like, this patriotism thing is just a disease. It's not, the generation next doesn't recognize borders and boundaries, certainly online. When they're, Europe speaks so many languages, but they almost all young people speak English. So it's they call it the language of liberty, as one group that we work with. And I'm looking at borders and boundaries aren't the same in your generation as ours. Even with this Trump thing, are you thinking in Team USA, globally empire, we're going to kick ass? Or you're thinking more of your generation of people that living across the planet?
Probably more worldwide.
Just kind spectrum. Of generation of, I'll take anybody's money. All right. Thanks for spending time with us. I'm glad you got on the mic. Just say, yeah, you're fine. I don't know what the heck you worried about other than, have the debate Frank or something. But the go ahead and set this up, this video. And, we're having a problem with the channel and the video mixer. To be able to
So guys, just to finish up, and for those of you that have been paying attention this long, we have a little treat for you. It is pretty amusing. We are going to post it. It is actually already posted. Donna put it up on the website so you can watch the actual video. But we're going to play the audio because we can't run the video right this moment, but you can hear it. So this is another comedy bit. It's a few number of minutes here, but you have to kind of let this thing play out. This is the Conan O'Brien show. We played earlier Jimmy Kimmel as they were asking Hillary delegates at the DNC. They were asking them what they thought about Hillary's quotes, but they were not Hillary's quotes. They were Donald Trump's quotes. They just lied to them. And, of course, these Democrats agreed with everything Donald Trump said. And these were delegates. So now we're going to switch it around, as I promised Ernie, to be fair. And here's Donald Trump. So what they did was, this is...
There, I fixed it.
Oh, you got it? We got it? Okay. So this is...
Okay, now what am I looking for?
Put it up here. Right here.
Sorry for the dead air there, guys. So this is, if you guys watch Conan, it's Comic the Insult Dog, right? I think that's his name. Anyway, he's the little puppet dog from Conan O'Brien. Anyway, forgetting that, the comedian behind that little puppet, what they did is they found Trump supporters at the Republican National Committee. Now, these were not delegates like the last bit we played, but these are people that were outside, I guess, that were Trump people. Anyway, they asked them if they would want to be part of a focus group and talk about, that Donald Trump made some new commercials. These are new commercials for Donald Trump's campaign. And they wanted to play them for this focus group and see what they thought and see if they agreed with his positions or not. Oh, boy. So there's a number of these that they play. A couple things to be aware. First of all, with these commercials, these are all fake. And to be clear, they have a Donald Trump impersonator who I don't think is that good, but he's an impersonator in these commercials. And I'm glad if you can get a chance to watch the video. The audio is hysterical, but the video, it really is funny and insulting in many ways. But the part that's interesting or scary is that some of these people, they are agreeing, and they don't seem to be actors, not all of them. There are a few plants in there, but a couple of them might be real, and they start to agree, including one person who starts talking about and agreeing about putting viruses in people to kind of like eugenics. I mean, it's pretty damn scary. And even the audience stops laughing as this goes on. So it's a pretty profound piece. It's about 15 minutes, but really just let it play out. It's funny, but interesting.
What is it doing? It's just making fun of what?
Well, it's showing, first of all, fairness from the earlier side that supporters will go along with whatever and not actually listen. That's number one. And that's probably what petrifies some people, that Donald Trump could be a dictator and have the American people just eating out of his hand and be Mussolini and people will follow. Of course, at the same time, my argument, which I tell people, and I argue with my wonderful mother, just because we go back and forth with this.
Happy birthday, Mom.
My mom's like, by the way, I don't pick up my mom. I love my mom with this, but she's kind of like a barometer. She's like a bellwether for me about how many of the average people out there listening from the standard media are taking things. And it bothers me that just like Ernie, you were getting after me the other
other day thinking that all I was doing was turning it around and deflecting from Hillary, and we don't want to get into that.
And your mom's going, what Ernie said.
That is not what I was doing. But nevertheless, in many ways, that's why I was so defensive about that, is because that's what goes on all the time. Hillary gets a free pass with everything. The media says nothing. I read the news headlines, you know, for the last couple days, nonstop bashing. So no wonder people are going to just, by osmosis, begin to just distrust Trump, think he's the Antichrist, whatever. So for better or for worse, I don't like necessarily the responses from some of the people here, but I will tell you, these were quite a bit of creative editing. The son of one of the people in this focus group did call into one of the shows that played this on a political show and said how his mom kind of got coaxed into this, and kind of, it's like, you know, she was like a regular person, and he explained the process of how he basically, the people got, let's say, a bad edit. And all you had to do was listen to Peter Schiff when he got interviewed on the Jon Stewart show, and how they took everything he said out of context. Nothing new. But it's interesting. It's amusing. It's a fun way to go off. And we can maybe comment along the way. But the scary part is, regardless of party, how much people will go along and blindly follow just to be on the winning team rather than use their head, which I think is the theme of today, including Mike, too, by the way. So, I guess with further ado, we have the video fixed now, so let's
and
play
we'll
it.
Go out with this.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining Trump Report. All right, here we go. Hit the button. Go.
We wanted to see how far we could push Trump's loyal supporters. So we decided to assemble a group of them for an unfiltered view of how they connect with Trump's vision for America. We brought these actual Trump supporters to this actual focus group research center to watch these actual fake Trump campaign ads.
So maybe real quickly, if everyone could just go around, you could tell me your name, and if there's anything you want to share about, you know, your thoughts on the upcoming election, I'd be happy to hear that too.
Yeah, my name is Brian Gogarty. I live here in Strongsville, Ohio. I've liked Trump personally. I'm not personally, but I just like.
And it's time that we have a change in, I think he's the one who could bring that about.
Okay.
Like, I like everything what he says. I mean, I give him a tip. I like everything he does, everybody, what we want to hear, you know?
He's real. He speaks what's on his mind, and he's not a politician.
I know sometimes he may need a filter a little bit, but for the most part, he's, I think, a good guy. He's not in politics. That's what else I like.
I like Trump because I think he has a plan, and I like that, so...
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for being here. So what we're going to do here and spend most of the time is I'm going to show you some concepts for some campaign ads, okay? And what we're intending to do is to get your thoughts and feedback so that we know, is it a good idea? Is it something that we can make better? Is there a way that you know, we can have the people that really care tell us what they think, okay? So I'm going to go up and play the first one here.
Okay, look, I believe that transgenders deserve to use the bathroom they feel comfortable in. But sometimes that means men transgenders are going into women's bathrooms. Women deserve to be comfortable, too. That's why, as your president, I will make guns available in every ladies' room in America. And these will be easily available in dispensers next to the other dispensers that you see in the ladies' room. The guns will be chained to the wall so they can't be used outside the bathroom. So the women can do whatever they do, with the knowledge that the playing field is even. Problem solved. It's disgusting, but it's solved. We're done with this. Let's move on.
Tell me what your initial reaction is. What do you think?
I personally think that if you're a man, you go to men's rooms, restrooms. If you're a woman, go to women's restrooms. And it all started kind of, we never had this issue before. And, you know, I think to start with Caitlyn Jenner, you know. It's like, God. It's like, then Obama. It's like, oh. I mean, what happened to decency?
What about you, Donna? Are there places where you can imagine this making sense?
Anywhere.
Anywhere?
Anywhere nowadays.
Would you even have enough time to, like, get one out of those vending machines?
So what about the details on that? How would that work? How would you imagine that they could make something like that work?
If there's a, you know, break the glass.
Right.
That might be a little better, but... Or even, like, a baseball bat.
Yeah, some baseball bat. guns or something. No, if so, if it wasn't a gun, having a bat or something, or maybe to defend yourself in there. Okay. Good, good comments on that first one. So we're going to do the same thing.
I'm a big fan of women, and they're big fans of me. But some want to vote for Crooked Hillary just because she's a woman. But is she? She says she's a woman. And I want to take her at her word. But have we seen her whatever? I mean, a lot of people look at her photos and question. I mean, why doesn't she just say, I'm not a man? What's so wrong with saying, I'm not a man? Look, I'm okay with a female president and blood everywhere and all of that. But let's be honest with this. I mean, basically, we already had a female president, Barack Obama. And that's probably why he won't release the birth certificate. If Obama is a woman and Hillary is a man, but we should know.
So, tell me what you think about that. I mean, that's Trump counterpunching, right?
I like it.
You know, like,
right on.
Karen,
I think the public would enjoy it. I'd rather hear stuff like that than, you know, little foo-foo taglines that don't make sense.
Okay.
Media hits him. He's gonna hit back.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, good. Well, let's look at another one here. So,
here's another great idea you're gonna love. The wall is gonna take a year or so to build. So while we're waiting for it, let's build an invisible electric fence to keep any illegals out. Starting now, they try and cross and zap. Now I know what you're thinking. How do we get all 150 million Mexicans to wear shock collars? Easy. The collars will have the only thing they love more than crime, blame, Trump quality, and the Mexicans will pay for them. That's right. For the wall, we build the fence. It's going to be so gorgeous, so beautiful, so invisible, it'll make your head spin.
So tell me about that. So what's going on here?
I like the fence, but seriously, getting collars on all those people.
Yeah, yeah. Once they find out what it is, they'll somehow get it cut off and sell the bling, right?
Yeah. Well, do you need a collar with the fence?
Yeah. You have to have something on for the invisible fence to work, or you can just walk across it.
To zap, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It wasn't a collar then. Something what else could that be? This is perfect because we're looking for these ideas to say how do we put
a metal bracelet or an ankle bracelet.
Not a collar, but maybe something that goes in your wallet or your purse or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On that, okay.
Or vaccine.
Mm-hmm. How would that work?
They want to know. They think they were getting vaccinated for something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Guys are doing great. This is great feedback. So we're going to tee up the next one here.
We have to stop illegal immigration. We have to stop the massive crime.
We're going to build a beautiful wall, and it will keep Mexicans from coming into this country and taking our jobs. But what about all the illegals Obama already welcomed in on the red carpet? And here's my newest plan. We will plant porta potties near places where Mexicans congregate. Home Depots, migrant farms that lock from the outside. And once all porta potties are filled and locked, they're lifted by crane and put on a flatbed truck and driven across the Mexican border. We're going to send back so many illegal Mexicans this way, it'll make your head spin.
So what about that plan, the details of that? I mean, is that something that, could they actually execute that and make that happen?
It could work with that.
So they kind of lure them in?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's a starting point right there. Even though it is comical, it is something that could be worked with.
Okay.
Well, they say Mexicans congregate outside of there, but, you know, what if you're going to Home Depot, one of us, with our family, and the kid needs to use the porta potty, is it going to automatically lock?
Are we sure they're getting enough oxygen in there?
Just the neighborhood's got more Mexicans than others, so, I mean, you won't put them in Pepper Pike. You may put them somewhere near Clark neighborhood, where they're mostly where they all live.
So what neighborhood?
Clark Avenue is a bad neighborhood.
Okay. I mean, but this is kind of how Trump works, right? He comes up with these crazy ideas and then just sort of says, throws it out there and lets people make it, let him figure it out or something, right?
Yeah, he's surrounding himself with advisors. Intelligent people, and so he's just throwing these out there, and he's going to surround himself with economic advisors and military brains and intelligent people. Just like, well, it's crazy about inventing a light bulb. It's crazy about having an iPhone that you could do everything in your life that you could possibly want to do. You're nuts. It's never going to happen. All this stuff, it is kind of off the wall.
Is he a visionary guy?
It's nutty,
is he a visionary? Like the guys that made the light bulb or the iPhone and things like that?
It has to start somewhere.
Okay. This next one, it's a variation on that last ad.
We love Mexican housekeepers. The vast majority of them clean our homes, comfort our elderly, and raise our children. But the illegals, I'm sorry, they gotta go. Here's the plan. We will strategically place houses that need cleaning in cities Mexicans work in. We hire these illegal housekeepers, and while they're busy cleaning, the house is locked from the outside. That's when we pick up the houses by crane and transport them by truck. It's a win-win. We get rid of the illegals, but we sell them the houses so they have a place to live. Believe me, we're going to make so many pesos, you're going to get tired of pesos.
All right. So Donna, tell me, you like that. What, yes. What do you like about that idea?
That's awesome. Come in a house, board it up, and ship it out.
So like tell it. Me about that. Like how is that going to work?
Caging them in, shipping them out.
I like the house one better.
Well, so how is that one different than the porta potties one?
With more people in the house.
More people in the house?
It's a house. It's not a porta
potty. Right. They're going to get something out of it.
Okay.
It's more of an incentive to stay there now.
So it's a better deal for the illegals because they get a house out of it versus just getting a porta potty out of it.
Right. Send them back that way. You know, what's going to stop them from climbing the wall or digging under it, the first way they get a house out of it.
So it's incentive to stay.
Right.
On that. Oh, I never thought of that. I mean, they're bold, right? I mean, they're like really.
You get to the point.
Take care of it.
Definitely. Care of that. Thankful. Someone's got to say what we're all thinking.
Right,
you got it.
As your president, I will get the judges to make abortion illegal. I guarantee it. But let's be honest. That means women will go to Mexico to get fetuses removed from their whatevers. We need those jobs. So here's my compromise, people. We only make abortion available in economically depressed places like Atlantic City. I will create legal abortion zones that will transform our urban-infested cities into incredible four-star... You can make a weekend out of it. It'll be great for tourism. Every abortion package will come with 25 chips and a free shake at Johnny Rockets. Wait, it gets better. The more economically depressed the city is, the further along the abortion will be allowed. Detroit, third term. Newark, 1 month old. It's another win-win, people. I mean, are we going to have fun when I'm president or what?
What about the idea of, like, you know, the more depressed it is, the more the term, you know, how long, how late you can get an abortion. So that was...
The term should stay the same.
Yes, I agree with that. It should stay the same.
Amen. What about the idea of having it be in places that are more economically depressed? I mean, is that where the problem is?
Oh, yeah.
So make it more available there? Why does that make sense, Karen? What do you like about that?
Because in the more... economically depressed areas is the higher chances of the people that are going to be doing that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. So putting it in those places makes sense to you guys.
Yes.
And that. Okay. What about the idea, though? I mean, this is a serious subject. I can just tell from talk about it, but, you know, making it like a more fun experience, not making it so sad and negative and making it more positive.
Getting paid to have an abortion, it's like... instead of, okay, I'm going to get pregnant every year. Give me some money, you know.
Right. I think there should be a cap on it. They should only be able to...
How much do you think that cap should be?
I think they should only be able to do it once for the chips. Just to come and get the chips.
Supposedly someone's calling here, so hang on 1 second.
Hey, guys.
Hello?
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
You did a tremendous job today.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to call and thank you all personally. Just tremendous. I value your opinions, even the ones that are way, way off base. God bless you all, and God bless America.
Thank you, Donald Trump. We'll keep going, Donald. You rock, buddy.
Even the heavy guy, which What's your name?
Brian Dougherty.
Maybe you should focus a little less on cheesecake.
God bless you, Donald.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for calling,
bye,
sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Good luck.
So that was pretty amazing.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
No, but that's so cool.
They're completely down to earth.
I mean, that's awesome.
So listen up here, guys. This was great.
Appreciate it.
We're really sorry that we ran over and all that. But we wanted to give you one last chance. If anyone was interested in recording some testimonials, we're interested in getting you on camera for doing that. How about you, Donna? Interested?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Donald Trump's plan to lock Mexicans in porta potties sounds like solid, fresh thinking to me.
If Hillary Clinton can't tell us the truth about Benghazi, why should we expect her to tell the truth about her genitals?
We live in dangerous times. When we spot a potential terrorist, every second counts. I like Mr. Trump's idea for shortening 911 to 9.
The Zika virus on the march. I like Mr. Trump's idea of building a wall thick enough so people can't break through and tall enough so mosquitoes can't fly over.
I agree with Donald Trump. The only way to compete with the Chinese is to lower their IQ by injecting their water with various paints and solvents.
Watch my summer election special, now streaming only on Hulu.